Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. And so I just wanted to welcome you. And we're going to do this meeting in two different parts. First is the KPFK Delegate Assembly, which mostly Terry Goodman, the chair of the Tellers, will talk a lot about. And then we do the LSB meeting. I want to just say a few words about the recent events that just transpired this morning. So we have just been notified by Julie Hewitt that now additional to Bella and me, now she also, or the PNB also suspended supposedly our secretary, John P. Gary III. So our position is the same as last time. And we have actually sent out a note. This is an opinion of John Tatum about the illegality of how these suspensions are done, because they have to follow a certain procedure, which the PNB did not follow. And that's why we see the suspension as null and void and will proceed with our meetings. We will later have the opportunity in the LSB meeting to vote on verifying, I mean, to basically approving John Tatum's opinion. I hope you all have read it. You have received it, I think yesterday or the day before in the email. And so there's also the situation that they have called all our meetings of LSB, which I will refer to later, as canceled. This directly interferes with our right of free speech and also our ability to communicate with our listeners and members, and therefore is also not a proper step. I feel the escalation is unheard of, and so we want to keep the bylaws, follow in our procedure. Today is the day where we do the delegate assembly and the next scheduled LSB meeting, so we will proceed as planned. Thank you. So in the very beginning, I would like to call the meeting to order. Today is the 15th of January, Sunday, 10 a.m. And we first, as I said, have the KPFK Delegate Assembly for 60 minutes and then the KPFK Local Station Board meeting for about 120 minutes. And we're going to start with a roll call, please. John, can you call the roll?
Grace Aaron.
Here.
Rodrigo Argueta. I'll come back. Christina Avalos.
Here.
Jose Benavides.
Present.
Fred Blair.
Present.
Richard Borges. Mr. Borges, I saw you on the Zoom call. Please unmute.
Okay, trying to.
I can hear you. All you have to say is affirm your presence officially.
Present.
Thank you. Did I pronounce your name properly?
You did. You did. It's my first time on here, so I was having just a little challenge. That's all.
Welcome.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, welcome indeed. Thank you. Marisol Cruz.
Presente.
Bella DeSoto.
Present.
George Funmaker. I'll come back. Ralph Hawkins.
Here.
Michael Heist. Eric C. Jacobson.
Here.
Avelia Jones. Oye Oye Yippo. I believe I saw you on the Zoom call, Mr. Oyeyipo. Please unmute.
Here.
Thank you. Myla Reason. Ziri Rideau.
Present.
Paul Roberson. Janine Roan.
Present.
Ruth H. Strauss. Oscar Ulloa.
Tente.
Polina Vasiliev.
I'm here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten. Harvey Wasserman. Carlos Zavala. and interim general manager and ex officio non-voting member of the board, Michael Novick.
I'm here as a member of the public. This is a delegate assembly. I'm not a delegate.
Okay, thank you for that correction. Okay, I'm gonna go back and call the people who missed just in case they joined the stream late. Rodrigo Argueta.
Presente.
Thank you. George Funmaker. Michael Heiss. Avelia Jones. Myla Reason. Paul Roberson. Ruth H. Strauss. Elizabeth Von Gunten. Harvey Wasserman. Carlos Zavala. Fifteen present, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, John. So that means we have quorum for today. Thank you. So the next point would be the election of the delegate officer. So this has to be verified. This was the chair, a vice chair, and secretary. As far as I know, we also elected the treasurer. So these were the four things. I somehow, John, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought we have verified those last time already.
The delegates assembly is a separate body and has its own separate officers. The usual procedure is that someone will move to retain the LSB officers, all the LSB officers as officers for the delegates assembly. And that's one way that's usually disposed of quickly.
Thank you. This is Grace. I would like to make that motion.
Second, Bella.
Approve the LSB officers as the delegates officers.
Okay, so Grace moved, and Bella, can you then second, or did you also move?
Yes, I second. Bella DeSoto second.
Thank you very much. So then please also, John, for the record, include the treasury also in this.
Treasurer.
Not?
Nope. All included.
Just the chair, vice chair, and secretary only, not the treasurer.
Oh, okay. I thought this belongs here too. Okay, as next we designate timekeepers. Is anybody there?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you didn't dispose of that motion. You just, it's the motion's on the floor.
We have to vote on it.
Yeah.
Do we have to vote if there's no objection?
No, you can ask. No, Madam Chair, you can ask if there's objection.
Not hearing any objections, so we approve it. Thank you. There's somebody I'm hearing there in the background. What about the designated timekeeper? Is there anybody who is willing to do timekeeping? We have like four.
Madam Chair, DeSoto, may I be recognized?
Yes, if you want your timekeeper.
Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman is on the line as a public member. She kept good timing for us last time. Could we ask her? Her hand is up.
Okay, Eleanor, are you willing to do that? Let's unmute.
I will try.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you very much. So let's keep for now the time at 90 seconds. And so if there's extra points within the orders, I will let you know how long these are. So the current opening business is going to be about 15 minutes, okay? And so the next point is the agenda approval. Have you all received the agenda? Okay,
yes.
So are there any...
Ziri, can I say something and then I'll leave you alone, please? Arthur Schwartz, General Counsel.
I'm sorry, Arthur Schwartz.
I really don't
want to recognize you on the floor here because we have already heard your opinions and we...
No. You haven't heard my opinion about this and I'm already not
recognizing you. Excuse me.
Ziri, I'm the general counsel for the foundation. I would like to say something so that you can proceed any way you want, but people who are on this should be aware of what's going on. And I'm going to say,
I feel that we have already.
Excuse me, Arthur.
So I really need help here right now from Michael Novick.
Arthur, you're muted.
Arthur, we have not recognized you.
The Pacifica National Board has suspended Bella DeSoto.
Somebody
from the national board
is not in order.
Has,
is out of order.
You're going to elect people today, and they're not.
Madam Chair, excuse me, Michael. Do you have
Arthur? He's just manning you.
You're going to elect
Madam
people
Chair,
today. You're going to elect.
I have a motion for the floor.
I have what's your motion, please?
You're going to elect people today.
So that we do not have a meeting that was disrupted as we did last week, I'm wondering if we could have a vote on muting anyone who is not a member of the LSB.
I would like to
Okay,
so let's take a vote on this one, please.
There should be a correction. It's not a member. If I'm timekeeping, it should be not a member of the Delegates Assembly, of the KPFK Delegates Assembly.
You need to include me as timekeeper, though.
And probably the teller.
Yeah.
And probably the secretary.
Point of personal privilege?
And the streamer.
I want to be reported.
Madam Chair, if we can move forward with the vote of
the vote requires discussion. This is Eric. There needs to be discussion, motivation, and discussion, like any motion.
Point of personal privilege. Point of personal privilege. I would like to.
Madam Chair, Beth von Gooden hasn't been recognized as attending. Is she in attendance?
Beth, are you in attendance or not?
Elizabeth von Gooden.
That's what I'm saying.
What about Wasserman?
How about Carlos Zavala?
Carlos Zavala is present, but arrived late. Okay. And Elizabeth von Gooden is present, but arrived late.
I arrived at 10:07, but was being held out. So please take
So was I. I was stuck in the waiting room.
Okay, so John, please record all these people as present.
We'd also like to be filled in on what was being discussed beforehand.
Take another roll call.
Thank you. Yes. I move we take another roll call.
Why? We have quorum and you're listed as present. There's no problem.
But we can.
But those of us who were excluded.
Madam Chair, Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized?
Okay, Bella, what do you want to say?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would like for you to take control of this meeting and go on with the vote.
So we're going to take a vote now. If the people
there
who
needs
are
to be discussion, vote. There needs to be motivation of the motion. This is Eric, and discussion
that
before
is out of
vote.
Order, Mr.
No, it's not out of order, Bella. In parliamentary procedure under Robert's rules, a motion is motivated and there's discussion prior to
there
a vote.
There has been
That's
no motion. There has been no motion.
We're talking about Janine's motion.
I mean, there is a motion, but the motion is to go on with the meeting.
Okay, Bella, excuse me. So we can have a brief discussion about this if we, the discussion is about this motion of Janine to mute people who are not on the LSB while we're conducting the current business. This is about the Delegates Assembly. It's not even the LSB, okay? I don't want a big conversation about the LSB issues here on the Delegates Assembly. So if you want to discuss anything pertaining to the Delegates Assembly, then we can have a conversation about this. We have so much with disruptions in the last three meetings that we should have every right to make sure these meetings go as planned. So is there any will to discuss this motion pertaining to the Delegates Assembly, please?
This is Eric. I wish to have this discussed and it can be motivated. The maker can motivate and there should be discussion.
And I second that motion.
So then please get on the stack. Carlos, if you want to say something, I currently see a hand up of Eleanor, who is not a member. Are you not a member of the LSB? So for right now, I would just like to hear from LSB members. We can have a discussion of 3 minutes. Eric, go ahead.
Actually, Madam Chair, can I motivate, please, my motion? And then we can
take it. Janine, start first by motivating your motion, and then Eric has the first hand up.
Thank you. It's very simple. You know, I do transcriptions of a lot of these meetings so that I can review them. And I believe that the last meeting on the 8th, it took over a half hour with people who were not present, considered present at the meeting. They were not attending as members, and yet the meeting was delayed. I'll also say that with all respect to Arthur Schwartz, he was very disparaging to our chair the last time he attended our meeting and actually to the point said, quote, you've spoken enough. And I just feel like we're going to be disrupting this meeting. We all have to be here for, you know, both meetings. And I just would appreciate us getting through this. If there's issues, the issues will get resolved outside these meetings. And then also, Madam Chair, I'd say that if you are allowing Arthur Schwartz to speak, then I would hope that you could describe for the public or that the parliamentarian could exactly why the suspensions are not per the bylaws, because I believe that there needed to be notice, there needed to be a time frame that went by before the suspension. So instead of just saying that they, you know, just be more descriptive so that they understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine. So actually, I did not want to let Arthur Schwartz speak. I wanted to hear from the LSB members. I wanted to have three people speak in favor of the motion, three people speak against the motion, and then take a vote only for LSB members for right now. The only hand I see up right now is Eric and me. So if anybody else wants to say something or discuss this motion, go raise your hand. So Eric, go ahead. Please, you have 90 seconds.
So I make a distinction. And I rarely wear my lawyer's hat at these meetings, but I will today. I believe that there is a sharp distinction between the delegates assembly and an ordinary LSB meeting in this sense. The bylaws are clear that the LSBs create the PMB, and they do so every January. Mm-hmm. And there is 100% turnover via LSB elections for PMB delegates every January, and that's there for a reason. It was considered important that there be no possibility of the PMB becoming self-perpetuating. So I don't believe there's any wiggle room or anything other than a hard January deadline for the LSB to elect their PNB delegates, each LSB, and then the new PNB is empowered after those elections. And so I don't think that we have any leeway other than to go forth with our delegates assembly. And I would like Arthur to be admitted to say his piece on this, because, you know, he has offered a slightly contrary view to that, whereby he thinks that there is no hard and fast delegates assembly feature of the bylaws. But I think that there is, in this sense, that the LSBs create the PMB. And I don't think that can be bypassed, because that throws everything off in terms of what we our structure of the equivalent to U.S. federalism, where the LSBs have their prerogatives in this cardinal respect and a few others, and the PNB has their prerogatives, and the LSBs are subordinate to the PNB. But when the PNB is being created, the LSBs are in a sense superior to the PNB, and that's the case today. So I would like Arthur to be admitted for a little bit of Socratic dialogue on that issue, because I think it's important and it's sort of integral to Pacifica's current structure of governance. That's all for now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Eric. Bella, go ahead. You have to unmute. You have 90 seconds. Elinor, please keep time. I think Eric was a little over time. Bella, go ahead. Okay, so Bella seems to not be able to hear us. Then I also would like to speak.
Madam Chair, I was muted. Elizabeth Foreman, who has been keeping time for us, has her hand up.
She's not a member of the LSB.
But she may be wanting to ask and interact.
This is your time.
Regarding time. Okay, then since you will not recognize her, I would like to discourage including Arthur Schwartz, legal counsel for Pacifica. As I feel like you, Madam Chair, it is not appropriate at this time. And what is happening at the national level is precisely what is costing us so much harm locally and across the network. And Mr. Arthur Schwartz has been a voice for his supporter of those actions. Therefore, at this stage, we should keep up with our agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. I see a hand up from Ruth. Ruth, go ahead. You have 90 seconds. We're talking right now about if you are in favor or not of having people who are not part of the LSB speak out during the beginning part of our meeting, which is not public, obviously, if there's anybody like Arthur Schwartz allowed to speak or not. Go ahead, Ruth.
Well, obviously, I think that legal counsel should be able to speak. I think it's ridiculous not to. He has the interest of the entire organization.
She cannot be heard.
Ella, be quiet, please. Ruth, can you repeat this? It's very difficult to understand you. Maybe you have a different microphone or you have something with the microphone.
I'll come back to help me as present under protest.
Do you want to repeat this one more time because it was hard to hear? You still have time.
Present under protest. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we hear you now. Please go ahead.
Okay, fine. Present under protest and legal counsel is essential, not part of that matter.
I'm sorry, Ruth, maybe it's easier if you call into the meeting for whatever reason you keep.
I can't. It's not accepting a meeting ID. It's just all easy.
Okay. Thank you. So,
Chair, this is Mike Heiss. I wish to be noted, despite the question of legitimacy of membership as being here.
Okay. Thank you for being here. I see the hand up of Fred. Go ahead, Fred Blair.
Yeah. On discussion, I think just out of plain decency, we should let Arthur speak and not extend, run this meeting out for another half hour on this question. Let's just move on. Let's move on after he makes his statement. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Fred. Is there anybody? So we have heard three people now speak in favor of Arthur speaking. We have heard Bella. I would like to also say something. So we would need maybe one more person who speaks against Arthur speaking out. So my point of view is this, that Arthur has already made his opinion clear. He was not recognized the last time. He did express himself in a disrespectful way to the whole local station board, including me. And he has sent emails that we should stop this nonsense. That's literally his expression. He is the council of Pacifica, and he has advised us in ways that we should break the bylaws. And this, for me, is something that, another entity will have to decide, that is beyond all of us here. And I feel we should preserve our point of view that we have as a majority of the LSB taken to follow the bylaws. And for that reason, I would not want to have this disturbance. He has sent emails, and he can send emails to all of us all the time, and he has surely done so. And so we very are aware of his point of view. So there's another hand up from Rodrigo, and then after this, we're going to take a vote. Rodrigo, go ahead. Rodrigo? Can you unmute, please?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we hear you.
Yeah. Well, I would like to just move on, to proceed with the meeting, and also to point out that the whoever is arguing about the issue of the people from our local station board that be suspended, of course, it's wrong because our bylaws are really, really clear in terms of the procedures, and maybe there should be some time, to examine or read and understand, basically what it means, in terms of how you can remove or suspend a member of the local station board. It's not like just a decision of the national board. That's totally wrong. And if they are doing that, then they are missing, or they are not reading, our bylaws, correctly. That's what I wanted to say. This is like at least 30 days in advance, and it has to be provide time for the people who are being suspended to reply and to also to let, you know, what's, you know, the reasons. I mean, it's a whole procedure that it's going to take a long time, you know, to understand it. But if we have to do it, we have to do it, you know. But what they are saying, that you, some of our members are suspended, it's totally wrong. And I would like to point out that whoever in our board is, you know, conceding credit to that opinion of the national board, you know, is conceding credit to whoever is trying to damage our KPFK. Our KPFK is, you know, that we have to protect. It don't matter if we are like on either side or whatever, you know, but, you know, directing us to do wrong from the national board, you know, is not the correct way to proceed. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rodrigo. So I would like to take a vote now. And so I would like John to call the roll. If you vote yes, you would like to have Arthur Schwartz speak for 90 seconds here as part of this meeting. If you vote no, you would like not to speak, or any other members who are not LSB members during our delegate assembly and local station board meeting. So yes, if you want Arthur to speak, no is not. John, can you call the roll, please? Can you please mute in the background? There's 50 people on this meeting and we hear a lot of noise.
John, point of information, Madam Chair.
Okay, Janine.
This is just one vote regarding Arthur Schwartz, and the other vote, because I have an amendment to the motion for the other vote to include the secretary and include the timekeeper, et cetera. So, but this is just on Arthur Schwartz.
This is just now on Arthur Schwartz so that we can move ahead. You need to, it's already 33 minutes into the meeting. We need to get ahead. So let's just vote on Arthur Schwartz for right now. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I need to know who's moving this motion. I heard, who's Janine, making this motion?
Janine was making that motion.
No. The Janine moved. No, a new motion kind of floated into view, or I shouldn't say floated. It was suggested by someone suggested that Mr. Schwartz be given the opportunity to speak. Which member? And you seem to have taken that as a motion, which is fine.
I can expedite if it's included in the same motion. We would move forward with the delegates assembly to include public comment and include the secretary and the timekeeper, but that people are muted until they raise their hand during public comment. Thank you.
Okay, so this is a little complicated, but has everybody understood this motion that Janine just...
Eric, to the staff.
Madam Chair, can we proceed, please?
Is there any objection to adopting this motion now?
It's the one, Zeri, the confusion is you recited clean motion about Arthur Schwartz, and then it got messed up. I'd like to revert to your clean motion on Arthur.
Thank you. I didn't make a motion myself at all, actually.
It was a combination of myself and Fred. We both said that it would be excellent for Arthur to speak his piece. And we
Madam
articulated
Chair,
it a little bit differently, but I
Madam
think
Chair,
that should
can
be
we
voted
proceed?
On.
I call the vote.
Bella, can you please right now? So I would like to have that vote now on if we can have Arthur not speak right now, have the public speak later when it's public, you know, time for the public. And also, if Janine wanted to have the timekeeper and John Gary included, then I'm in favor on that. I can include that in my motion as well. So I would say, John, just it's one motion by Janine, and I didn't make any motion.
Okay. What is the motion, Madam Chair?
Can I
very confusing. I don't think anybody knows what they're voting on now. This is Eric.
I'm trying to clarify with John. So, John, what do you say?
Roan moved to mute non-delegate assembly members, but allow the timekeeper and the secretary to speak.
Correct.
Is that satisfactory, Ms. Roan?
No, and to only have LSB members speak right now. It's not public. Okay, right now we're not. That would mean not Arthur Schwartz included. He's not a member.
Well, that's implicit in her wording of the motion. The way she gave it implied that, Madam Chair, I believe, if I can speak on her behalf.
Yeah, that's exactly, that's the motion we would be voting on.
Okay, this is Eric. Gary, please clarify. That's the opposite of what you originally stated about Arthur.
Out of term,
so make sure people understand what they're voting on, and it's a clean vote.
You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star six.
Muting until someone raises their hand and is recognized. That's what I suggested, because that's where this interruption is coming from. Thank you.
You are unmuted.
Madam Chair, you're muted.
Funny. Okay, I don't know who muted me, but that's a good sign that you see it. I don't do the muting here. So,
Madam Chair, the parliamentarian has his hand up.
You okay, Bella? So, John, what do you would like to say? John Tatum?
Are you speaking to John Tatum?
Yes, John Tatum.
Yes. There are two motions, and I think that they should be separated one by one. The motion that was made by Janine is to have all the public muted until it's time for public comment, but she wants to allow the timekeeper to speak, and I think it's so that he can tell people when their time is up, and she also would like to allow the secretary to speak so that he can continue to inform you about the agenda. That's one vote there. The other vote was to allow our counsel, Arthur Schwartz, to speak ahead of public right now. So that's two motions. I think you should take them one by one.
Thank you, John. I think that actually both motions could be rolled into Janine's motion, and I could withdraw my motion, which I never made. I think it was misunderstood as a motion. I never said I move, you know. I believe if Janine says in her motion that we will mute the public, and at this point, Arthur Schwartz is part of the public. He's not on the LSB. It would include him as well. So all we need is just Janine's motion, and this is what I would like to vote on now. And so I can,
that's
again,
point of information.
What's your point
of information?
Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to know in what capacity Mr. Tatum is present. What's his status, and who decided that, and how, and whether he's being compensated, and if so, by whom and how much? Thank you.
Okay, so Mr. Tatum is the parliamentarian of Pacifica, and I have asked him to be present since I would like a parliamentarian to assist me with this extremely difficult situation and very challenging moment in the history of KPFK. I have every right to do that. And so he is compensated, I think, with 75.
Madam Chair, there is no need to give any fees.
It's not anything secret. I don't want secrecy. It's very transparent.
But this is not correct.
Bella, what is your assumption? I didn't even recognize you. Okay.
So I would like to be recognized, Madam Chair.
Okay. Since you don't have a point of order, Bella, I'm not going to recognize you right now. I answered Beth as much as I want to answer her. Let's proceed with the vote, please. So we have the vote on the floor right now for in favor of Janine's motion, which was now explained three times. If you vote yes, you're in favor for the motion. If you vote no, you're against the motion. So could you please take the roll, John? Gary.
John, where are you there? I'm in the meeting now, Madam Chair.
Who's this? Evelia. Hi, Evelia.
Okay.
John, Gary, go ahead. You're muted, John.
Sorry. I got a note that James Sagerton is in the waiting room. I don't know how I got that. I don't know how I got that, but I did. Who was Janine Roan's motion seconded? And by whom?
Point of order.
Bella DeSoto seconded. Bella DeSoto seconded.
Thank you, Bella.
Point of order.
We're about to call the roll right now. So,
point of order. Point of order. That
we should go to the vote.
I answered your question. You had a point of information. I answered your question. Now we're going to take the roll, please. Go ahead, John.
Grace,
I raised
Aaron.
The point of order. I raised the point of order.
What's your point of order, Beth?
My point of order is that all directors have a right to attend all meetings at all LSDs without exception. And if there's a director in the waiting room, that's inappropriate. That's out of order. So I move that he be admitted immediately and any other directors that are waiting.
There's no one in the waiting room.
There's nobody in the waiting room. I was also told that. And so I don't know what you mean. So thank you very much. And please, John, proceed with a roll call now.
Grace Aaron.
Yes.
Rodrigo Argueta.
Yes.
Christina Avalos.
It's a little confusing. I want to allow Arthur Schwartz to speak. So I don't know, what is that, a yes?
No.
Or?
That would be a no vote.
Okay, no.
Jose Benavides.
I don't want to hear Arthur Schwartz. Is that a no?
That would be
yes.
A yes.
It would be a yes.
A yes.
Yes.
Fred Blair.
No.
Richard Borges.
Richard, can you mute, please?
I'll come back. Marisol Cruz.
Yes.
Bella DeSoto.
Yes.
George Funmaker. I'll come back. Ralph Hawkins.
Yes.
Michael Heiss.
I vote present per Robert's Rules 45. 48, questioning the legitimacy of my membership.
All right, so you'll be listed as present, not voting. Eric C.
That
Jacobson.
That is correct.
Eric C. Jacobson.
No.
Avelia Jones.
No.
Oye Yippo.
No.
Myla Reeson. Paul Roberson. Janine Roan.
Yes.
Ruth H. Strauss.
No.
Oscar Ulloa.
Yes, I don't consider Mr. Schwartz a fair player.
That was a little distorted. Did you say yes?
Yes, correct.
Thank you. Polina Vasiliev.
Yes.
Elizabeth von Gunten.
No.
Harvey Wasserman. Carlos Zavala.
No, in protest.
Okay. Rodrigo Argueta, you passed. How do you vote?
Yes.
Richard Borges, how do you vote? All right, if you get on the screen before I finish the roll call, just jump in and give me your vote. George Funmaker, how do you vote? And last call for Myla Reason. Paul Roberson, how do you vote? Madam Chair, how do you vote?
Yes.
And is there any member present who has not cast a vote? All right. The yeses are. The yeses are 10. The noes are. Are 8, and there were no abstentions, and there was no present not voting. So that's yes 10, no 8, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, John. So the board has decided that right now we're going to mute the people until we go to the public session. And so I'm asking who runs the Zoom right now to do that, please. Thank you very much. This will help to make the meeting a little quicker. So we're going to go, let's see where we were.
Excused absence,
approval.
Agenda approval, I believe, Madam Chair.
So has everybody from the LSB received the agenda, please? Are there any objections to verifying the approving the agenda?
Madam Chair, I sent corrections. Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead, Bella.
Madam Chair, I sent several times corrections. I was going to send them yesterday to John P. Gary, but he announced he was going not be able to update or anything. But I want the mission statement to be brought up at this session to lay the ground for why we are here, and also the land back acknowledgement, so that we have a more functional session before we go into the next session. In other words, pulling it from that the second session, which is the regular meeting, and bringing it up here.
Okay, Bella, thank you for this. I feel it would be very important that we move forward with the meeting. If we have another vote on moving this agenda to the front, I wonder if the benefits will really outweigh the issues of having another 10 minutes lost here. So I noticed that this is what you want changed. Are there still any other objections to keeping the agenda as is right now?
Point of order, Ziri.
What's the point of order?
I believe the agenda needs to be moved and seconded, and then amendments can be offered. So I move the agenda.
Okay. Is there any second to that?
Grace, I second.
Okay, thank you.
I object wherever I'm supposed to do that.
I'm sorry, you object to what now?
Object to the agenda.
Okay, so your objection is noted. And so,
Eric, to the stack.
My
hand's been up, Ziri. I'd like to be recognized for a request that the agenda be read, not only for our benefit, for those who haven't read it, I'm talking about the delegates assembly agenda only, and for the benefit of anybody listening on the stream. Thank you.
So is there any objection to reading the agenda? Okay.
It's customary.
Yeah, so we have to just do that really quick. Is anybody who wants to read the agenda, who volunteers?
Madam Chair, I can.
And go ahead, John.
Okay, we're already in Roman numeral one, opening business, scheduled for 15 minutes. And the items remaining in that are, we're on agenda approval, followed by excused absence requests, schedule next delegates assembly, set time for adjournment. Roman numeral two, PNB staff directors election, 15 minutes. And that includes reading the nominations, candidate statements, and board questions to candidates. Roman numeral three, PNB listener directors election, scheduled for 15 minutes. That also includes reading the nominees, nominations from the floor, if any, candidate statements, and board questions to candidates. Roman numeral four, teller instructions, which will be delivered by Pacifica Chair of Tellers. Roman numeral five, public comment for 10 minutes. And during that session, the public may comment on and recommend candidates, but they're free to speak on whatever they want. And then there will be adjournment, and I've included a 5-minute recess. Be advised that the delegates assembly will have 10 minutes of public comment. The local station board meeting will have 20 minutes of public comment scheduled for the required total of 30 minutes of public comment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, John. okay, so I see a hand up of Beth von Guten, and then we can go to the next point. Beth, go ahead.
That's a legacy hand.
Oh, okay, then I take both your hands down, sorry. Okay. Now
my hand is up, Siri.
Your hand is still up from the. Okay, I thought you just.
No, I lowered it and I put it back up. I wanted to make a comment and an amendment to the amount of time for the portion of the delegates assembly agenda that involves the nomination and the statements by listener delegate candidates for the PMB. I don't think 15 minutes is adequate time for that portion. I'd like to at least double it to 30 minutes.
Madam Chair, this is Bella. May I be recognized?
Yes, Bella, go ahead.
I object. We should go on to the agenda as planned, as laid out. Thank you.
Okay. So now I guess the procedure is that we will have to vote, or do I have to just ask?
Ziri, this is Paulina.
Go ahead.
Eric has made a motion to amend the agenda. It needs a second. Then you can ask if there are any objections to Eric.
Bella, Madam Chair.
Beth just seconded Eric's motion. Yes, go ahead. You wanted to say something, John?
There's a motion on the floor already from Bella DeSoto to amend, and that has to be disposed of first before you begin discussion on a second main motion, I believe.
Did Bella get a second in her thing?
No. No, she didn't. So is there a second motion for Bella's motion? Is there a second? Okay, hearing none, then this is not a motion, I would assume. So now we're going back to Eric's motion that's Beth just seconded, and he wants to double the time. So I think there should be a brief discussion. We should really move faster because we're like losing a lot of time right now, and then take a vote. So I don't see any hands up. Anybody else who wants to discuss this?
I'd like to motivate. This is Eric.
Bella is on my hand up.
All right. So Eric, briefly motivate, please. And then Bella, go ahead, Eric.
So just expanding a little bit on what I said earlier, this delegates assembly and this vote that we're going to be, we're going to be hearing from those of us who wish to serve on the PMB among our LSB members. And it is clearly, and it's always been my feeling from the time I joined the board in 2019, this is the most important vote that we take as LSB/delegate assembly members. We're accountable for this vote because we're creating the PNB. The PNB has plenary power over the Pacifica Foundation. So for us to do this in any type of hurried way is really a dereliction of our duty. We need to listen really carefully to each nominee, both from the staff, which, we all get to vote on. But from my point of view, even more importantly, just numerically, for the LSB members who wish to serve on the PMB, because what they stand for and what they're going to, their qualifications, their outlook and their platform, so to speak, is absolutely crucial to the destiny of the entire foundation. And so we have to do this with care. And I don't want people to make hurried statements. I want the nominees to have at least, 4 to 5 to 6 minutes to speak their piece as to why they wish to represent our LSB on the PNB. And we can't rush it in 15 minutes. I'm not even sure 30 minutes is enough, but I just limited it to that. But I urge support for this amendment to the agenda, people. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Bella, and then Rodrigo. Bella, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I object, given everything that is happening right now, this is just another strategy for us to lose sight of our time, our delicate time here today, experiencing cancellation for the stream for the next session. We are facing a number of attacks, and right now we should go ahead with our agenda as has been drafted. And we know that some board members would like to be elected to the PMB. That is natural, but we also know that we have to be very vigilant on who we are voting for. And we need not spend so much time in deliberating why or not, except to speak specifically on qualifications. Thank you.
Thank you. Rodrigo is next, and then we can have a vote. Rodrigo, go ahead.
Yeah, I just like to say that, yeah, there are like, you'd say the opinions on both sides are, you know, pretty much, I would say, okay. But the issue of extending the time, it can be done even, you know, when the time of the people, you know, of the candidates, you know, when they speak, there's always, you know, chance to extend the time. This not necessarily has to be done right now. If we move ahead and if it is needed to extend the time, then we can do it. You know, that's it. We don't have to do it right now.
Thank you, Rodrigo. So I don't see any other hands up. So we can maybe... I could make an amendment to say we're going from 15 minutes to 25 minutes. So then we can have a vote now if we extend it to 25 minutes. I'm just trying to save time for everybody because there's so much still to happen. We're going to sit here for 4 hours today. And so in the interest of streamlining, and I totally respect what Eric is saying, that we should hear from PMB potentials. It's a very important position. So my suggestion, as I said, would be 25 minutes. I don't know if it's in order that I ask if there's any objection to amend it to 25 minutes.
Well, that's
I object. It's not sufficient.
I'm sorry. What were you saying? You object and what?
I object because I don't think that's sufficient time. Uh-huh. With as many candidates as we have, as many nominations as we have, that limits each person to just a couple of minutes. So I think it's insufficient. Thank you.
So then instead of fighting more and having more time, I propose to then do what Eric said and extend the time for hearing for the PNB nominees. Are there any objections to that?
Bella objects. Bella objects.
Oh. All right. I think your microphone is turned off very loud and it hurts our ears. I'm sorry, Bella. Okay, so that means we have to take a vote, unfortunately. So, John, if you could call the roll. So we're voting basically on Eric's motion. He wanted it to be extended to, Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, to 30 minutes. So you wanted to double it, correct?
Yes, and for the listener delegates. The listener delegate PND nominees are currently scheduled in total, including the nominations and the statements, to a total of 15 minutes. And my motion was to double it to 30.
Okay. So, John, if you could take the roll, please. So if you vote yes, it means you want to extend the time to 30 minutes for point three, which is the PNB listener director's election, which currently is 15 minutes, and Eric wants it extended to 30 minutes. If you vote yes, we'll have 30 minutes. If you vote no, we still have 15 minutes. John, can you call the roll, please?
Grace Aaron.
Yes.
Rodrigo Argueta.
Abstain.
Christina Avalos.
Abstain.
Jose Benavides.
Sure, why not? Yes.
Fred Blair.
Yes.
Richard Borges. If he's trying to get into the room, I hope he's being allowed in. He has a new number, a new contact, because he's a new member. Marisol Cruz.
Yes.
Bella DeSoto.
No.
George Funmaker. Ralph Hawkins.
Yes.
Michael Heiss.
Present, not voting.
Eric C. Jacobson.
Yes.
Avili Jones.
Abstain.
Oye Oyeyepo.
No.
I assume Myla Reason is absent still. Paul Roberson. Janine Roan.
Abstain.
Ruth H. Strauss.
Yes.
Oscar Ulloa.
Thing.
Beautiful place.
I heard a voice over you, but I believe you abstained. Is that correct? Thank you. I just heard someone talk at the same time. Polina Vasiliev.
Yes.
Elizabeth von Gunten.
Yes.
Carlos Zavala.
Abstain.
Okay. And Richard Borges, are you on the stream? Please cast your vote. Okay. And George Funmaker, you're present and you voted previously. How do you vote?
I don't think he voted.
He's not present.
I thought I heard. Okay. And there are no, is there any member present who did not cast a vote?
Me, Ziri.
Oh, Madam Chair, how do you vote?
Yes.
Okay. The yeses are. The yeses are 10. The noes are. The noes are 2, and there was. Six abstentions and one present not voting. So the yeses are 10 and the noes are 2, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, John. So as we were at the point of the agenda approval, so this has basically approved that we're doing the point 3, which is the listener director elections for 30 minutes after the motion of Eric. Thank you. And are there any other objections to the approving the agenda? Hearing none, we are approving the agenda. Thank you very much.
Did we, this is Eric. Did we finish reading the entire agenda yet?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Then, so the next point would be the excused absence requests. Are there any excused absences you're aware of, John?
No, Madam Chair.
Yeah, not for me either. Okay. So are there any unexcused?
Is Paul Robeson on the call? Because I got an email and forwarded it to you, John, from him saying he would be late because of religious commitment.
He's not on the call now, but
he has not been present, but yeah.
Okay, so if he never makes it, it's an excused absence request from him. I did forward to you.
Well, we should vote on it. Well, Madam Chair, if I can't open, that email won't open for me, but if it is a request, we should vote on it now and not wait till later in the meeting because we'll forget. So does he say he's going to be late or late and maybe not make it at all, Michael?
It said re-excused absence request as the header, and he said I will be late because I'm in church.
Madam Chair,
sent it to you. I sent it to Aziri and myself.
Janine, go ahead.
And I just, I don't know, maybe he's listening, but I just got a text from Paul as well. Saying that he would just arrive late.
Okay. Okay.
Well, then that's not an excused absence request that we need to vote on. That's just a notice, Madam Chair, and we can move on.
I agree. Thank you very much. And so there's no excused absences today. Then we schedule the next delegate assembly to ratify the results. The plan is to do this for January 22nd. Are there any objections to that?
Beth wants to register that I'm here with objection to the procedure. I don't consider this a legitimate meeting or that a legitimate meeting. Nevertheless, I'm present to reserve my rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. So, okay, so we were talking about the delegate assembly ratification on January 22nd. Are there any objections to use this date? Hearing none, go ahead. Thank you. Please schedule this meeting. And then we're setting the time for adjournment. The current time for adjournment was actually planned. We were supposed to adjourn this meeting now at 11:06. So since we have another basically 45 minutes ahead, I suggest the adjourned time at 12 o'clock. Are there any objections to that? This is just for the delegate assembly meeting. Okay, not hearing any objections, then we're going to be...
Point of information.
What's your point of information, Ruth? What's the information?
When you say delegate assembly, is that the vote or the vote today?
I'm sorry, I haven't really... Did anybody understand what you said?
Madam Chair, can I answer?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Ms. Strauss, we're now in a separate meeting. We're in a delegates assembly meeting, and we're setting a time of adjournment for the delegates assembly only. It's a separate meeting from the LSB. After the delegates assembly adjourns, we will then start an LSB.
I just want to know when, what meeting takes place where we nominate and vote? Is it today or the 22nd?
The nominations will happen today, and the election will commence today. January 22nd will be the day for the delegates to ratify the results in the Kelly's report.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, John. So, all right, so we have set the time of adjournment already. So now the next point is number two, the PNB staff director's election. We have allocated 15 minutes for this, Eleanor. And so the first thing would be the secretary reads the nominees. John, go ahead, please read the nominees. And this is for both for staff and listeners, right?
Madam Chair, when I read them, can I also ask each nominee if they accept, just so we can move this more quickly?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Point of information.
What information do you need, please?
When were these people nominated?
Madam Chair, can I answer that?
Yes, John, go ahead.
They were nominated by email directed to the secretary before January 31st. This is in the bylaws that nominations.
Can we nominate from the floor today? Yes or no?
Yes, and that we'll do nominations from the floor after I go through the list of the.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to call each name, and please say whether you accept, after I finish this list, we're not done. We will also accept nominations for the floor. So you're right. Your ability to nominate someone is not closed simply because I'm reading this list. We will have nominations from the floor. Rodrigo Argueta is the first nominee. Do you accept?
Yes.
Thank you. Next is Jose Benavides. These are the staff director nominations. There's two elections. Just so the public knows, there'll be two elections, a staff election and a listener. There is four PNB seats, one staff and three listener, and there's going to be two separate elections, and all delegates can vote in both of the elections. So Jose Benavides, do you accept the nomination?
Unfortunately, I decline. I can't do it.
Okay, thank you. Myla Reason, do you accept the nomination?
She's not present.
I had to ask. Oscar Ulloa?
Excuse me. This is Myla. I'm here under protest. I don't want to be counted towards quorum. I didn't realize that I would be expected to accept the nomination in order to be a candidate. I accept, but I will not be participating in what I consider to be
Jackson.
Embarrassment to the Pacifica Foundation.
Brother Jackson.
Extraordinary, extraordinary spectacle that is.
All right.
Excuse me, but John Tatum was speaking over me. And other people were speaking over me. I would prefer to have the courtesy to be allowed to speak without others speaking over me. So as I was saying,
well, this isn't the time for statements, Myla.
At any rate, point of information, if I had not spoken up, would I have been not counted as a nominee? That is totally confusing to me. So I thought I had accepted the nomination.
You have. Yes. If you say you accept, you accept.
I do accept. Thank you.
Thank you. Oscar Ulloa, do you accept the nomination?
Oscar, if you're here, you have to unmute.
I apologize. I had to change phones. My other one died. So pretty much I've been out for the last 3 minutes. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I'm reading the nominees for the staff director seat on the PNB. And you were nominated to be a PNB staff director, to be a nominee in that contest. Do you accept?
I respectfully decline.
Thank you. Polina Vasiliev, do you accept the nomination?
I have to decline as well.
Harvey Wasserman, do you accept the nomination?
I'm authorized to accept on his part. This is Myla.
No proxy voting.
I'm not sure that, Madam
point,
Chair.
Point
I don't
of information, is that required in order to be...
Yes, Myla. So if you want to get him...
Can you cite the rule, please?
Can you let John begin?
Yes, excuse me, John. First John Gary and then John Tatum, please. John Gary, go ahead.
Perhaps the IGM can correct me, but I believe it has occurred that people who are not present communicated to another member that they accepted, and this was sufficient to go ahead with the election. I believe the LSB has done it, and the way Ms. Reason is doing it is part of our past practice. So I would consider it a valid acceptance. But you know, I'd like to hear from other people, but I believe that we have done it this way before.
Madam Chair, Bella, may I be recognized?
I would like to hear from John Tatum first.
Okay.
Matter because I also
yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Past practice is the rule when there are no other rules. But going forward, it would be good to have verification somehow. Even an email would be sufficient. So thank you. That's all I have on that.
Thank you, John. Bella, go ahead.
Yes. What this does is this sets a precedent against our bylaws, which is very clear, to avoid and does not permit proxy voting or proxy certification of any kind. This would also apply here. If the person is not present, has not communicated to either the chair or the secretary previously, then that person cannot be named by anyone, cannot be voted in. It's that simple as a proxy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I actually looked up the Pacifica bylaws real quick. Article 3, members of the foundation, section 11, says proxies not permitted. The voting rights of the members shall be exercised by the member personally and may not be exercised by alternates or proxy or the like. So that in that case would suggest what Bella says is correct. So I'm...
this is Grace with a point of order.
What's the point of order, Grace?
I think that it probably would be appropriate to ensure that the teller gets a written confirmation. Harvey has already been nominated. The nomination process, he's been nominated along with others prior to December 31st. I think it would be appropriate for the teller or the secretary to reach out to Harvey and get in writing that he's willing to accept that nomination. And if so, he can be added to the ballot. I think that just because he's not present at this meeting should not destroy his ability to be voted for the staff position, director position.
Madam Chair, may I be recognized? Yes, first Janine and then John Gary. So Janine, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Harvey Wasserman was not present at our last meeting in protest. And I imagine he's not at this meeting to protest as well. So, you know, I just want to define what we're talking about when we say proxy. Are we saying that he is eligible to run for the PNB when he is not participating in these meetings due to protest? It just seems odd to me. I mean, I know that people may be sent the ballots, but the fact that he's not here to, I mean, someone said in the chat, I forgot who, that, you know, really the accepting of the nominations are due today. it's not in the future. So that, the fact that he's not here to accept, or we get a hold of him while this meeting's going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have three more hands up. I don't want to spend too much time on this. I hope that Myla is getting on the phone with Harvey so that he can just get on the call and we can get over this little hump there. So please keep it short. Rodrigo, Paulino, and then John Tatum. Rodrigo, go ahead.
Yeah, really short. Just like to reaffirm, all actions taken by LSV members shall be taken personally. The powers of delegates and associate station representatives may not be exercised by alternates, by proxy, or the like. My question is there any motion that was approved before that would superexcede this Section 9 proxy is not permitted? That's one thing. Second is like, if someone wants to be part of the national board or part of the local station board, it's our duty to be present. And if someone is going to be in protest, that's fine. They're not national, not that much, you know, they want to contribute. You know, they can do the criticism, it's fine, but we have to be present, you know, right here. So we all are busy doing things. And so I just want to make sure that we understand. After I never seen it before, like someone was going to say, well, I accept for her or for him. I never seen it before, right? Unless that during my time out of the local station board, you change the bylaws. Thank you.
John Tatum, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say that the quote from the bylaws that the chair read is absolutely accurate. I think some people are mixing up the word proxy. Proxy means you are standing in for someone else. You are being someone else. And that's not the case here. These are nominations in writing, by email, by word of mouth, those kind of things. So I'm thinking, agree with Grace, that in writing is the best way. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, John Gary, what's it?
Yes, the reason Mr. Wasserman's name is here is because one of the members in their email said that all eligible people shall be nominated. I put Mr. Wasserman's name on this piece of paper because he was one of the people nominated, okay? Because someone said all eligible people, and I put them in by name so we'd know who they are. So Mr. Wasserman did not self-nominate. The nomination was put forward by a member present at this meeting. So that's the standing of Mr. Wasserman's nomination. He's included in the group of all eligible candidates. And I simply identified him by name. He may not even know about this. He does. I mean, I accept Myla's speaking as a, I repeat, we have done it this way before. I don't think that this is a proxy vote. This is the passing of a message, which is not a proxy vote. But it's not for me to rule. I can only discuss past practice, which I know people have said, oh, do you think so-and-so wants to be treasurer? Oh yeah, I heard she does. Okay, good, nominee. I've heard that before. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, John. So now we have Beth and then Paulina, and then I want to say something and then I want to move on. So Beth, go ahead, please.
Madam Chair, point of information. I wanted to make sure that you're watching the chat because Terry Goodman is making a comment about this situation in it. Thank you, and he's our teller.
Okay, so then let me read real quick what Terry, thank you, Janine. Terry Goodman said in the chat, a nominated candidate can decline in an email to all voters after the meeting adjourns. If ballots have not been sent yet, a declining candidate's name can be redacted from the ballot. So this is about his declining, but he hasn't
accepted
nomination at any point at this moment. You know, he was nominated by somebody else. So Beth, go ahead, please.
There was a second message from Terry. He says directors need a year's service on the OSB.
Yes. Okay. So. Okay, thank you for reading this. Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to point out that our ballots always include a space for write-in voters. So if someone isn't able to be here today or doesn't know they were nominated or for whatever other reason isn't included in the final list, there is always the option to write in your personal choice, your personal preference. And if you want to coordinate with other people to do the same, that's entirely your prerogative. Thank you.
Good point. Thank you very much. Paulina, and then Ruth, and then let's please move on. Paulina, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in support of leaving the nomination of anybody who may not have accepted yet because they're not here, and let them decline by email, and that should be fine with me. I think that would be fair. I think there's precedent for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Ruth, go ahead. Have to unmute. Ruth, Strauss.
When can we do nominations from the floor?
Okay, so everybody who's eligible is already nominated, Ruth. So you don't have to nominate anybody else because everybody who is eligible is nominated. And so now in the process from here until the polls close, whenever Carrie opens them, you have every option with whoever you want to vote
okay,
with.
Okay, is Beth Von Gunten on the list, yes or no? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So now that we have gone through this part, the secretary reads final list of staff nominees. So you already did that in one, right, John?
No, I did not do that. I'm not sure.
So we're going to include everybody now.
The list of nominees are the list of people who are nominated and accepted. And accepted, right? Because we're shrinking the list down from the total to those who accepted, and those names will go on the ballot. So we have to be very certain about who declined and who accepted, so the ballot is limited to the people
okay,
who accepted.
So that means that for right now, Harvey Wasserman has not accepted, but he can be in the write-in ballot, correct?
Is that your ruling, Madam Chair?
Madam Chair, Bella, Maggie,
15 minutes is up.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Elnora. Yeah, so there is no ruling. I mean,
Can we let John P. Gary finish the list, Madam Chair?
Yes, I want to finish the list, but we have to find something for Harvey Wasserman now.
So he may respond between now and the end and afterwards.
No, nominations are closed when the meeting ends. He's welcome to decline. If we put him on the ballot and he declines, a candidate always has the right to decline. Nominations will close when the delegates assembly adjourns. The names we have at the end of this assembly are the names that will go on the ballot and that will be sent out. And after that, you'll have to do a write-in.
Okay.
That's the procedure, and that's in the approved agenda too. That the nominations will close. That's in the approved agenda, Madam Chair.
Okay.
So the nominees are Rodrigo Argueta, Myla Reason, and what is the status of Harvey Wasserman? I need a ruling, Madam Chair.
So given the bylaws and what I've heard from everybody, I rule to not include Harvey Wasserman in the nomination. He can always be a write-in candidate. And if there's any objection to that, we can take a vote on this. Are there any objections?
Object.
Okay. So then there is one objection.
Second.
A vote on this, or if we should just note Ruth's objection. Because
vote. There's a second vote.
There's a second vote. What?
Yeah, there were two people who someone seconded
Michael
Hyde. Objection. So that's all right.
Okay.
So there are two people.
Let's take a vote. Let's take a vote and then we can move on. And
point of order.
Yes, what's your point of order?
Because Harvey was nominated before the 31st, which is proper. I think his nomination should be valid. He should be included on the list of nominees for the staff director PNB position unless he declines. He doesn't have to be present to be nominated.
Thank you.
That's right.
I thought that John said before that he will have to be present to be nominated, that this is
no.
No, he was, Madam Chair, Mr. Watt, Madam Chair, if I may. Mr. Wasserman's name has already been placed in nomination before the 31st deadline. His name has already been placed in nomination. So we can't unnominate him. His name was placed implicitly named in nomination because a LSB member said, quote, all eligible members shall be nominated.
Okay.
That's fine. Mr. Wasserman has been on the board for a year. That means he's qualified. And that's why he's duly nominated. The question now is the fact that he can't verbally, the fact is he not present mean that he can't be nominated? And I've expressed my view on it, Madam Chair.
Thank you. So for this case, then I'm really wondering why we're even going through the nominations if they accept, since everybody.
Well, because we always ask people, Madam Chair, if I may, we always ask people if they accept or decline so that we can shrink down the ballot to just the people who want to be on the board. And Mr. Wasserman is not on the call to personally accept or decline. So now people are in confusion about whether he is running or isn't running.
But as
Grace Aaron made her statement on it. People don't have to be present to be nominated, and now we're wrangling over whether they have to accept to be a candidate.
Okay, so in this case, I would say everybody who is nominated for both from the staff and the listeners should then stay on the nominated list. That means we don't even have to go through the trouble right now finding out if they're accepting.
Madam Chair. With all due respect, we don't put people on ballots who don't decline, because people will vote for them instead of people who are actually running, and they end up wasting their vote. It's very important that people should not be voted for something when they don't want the office.
So it
just leads to trouble, Madam Chair. We need to make a condensed ballot with just the people who want to run, with people and people free to do write-ins.
I hear you. And as a result, I thought what the wish of the body was to not have Wasserman, who right now doesn't verify his nomination.
No, that's not right.
Well, Madam Chair, that's why we were going to avoid Madam Chair.
Can I just finish my thought? But now we're going to have him on there, since everybody seems to people seem to be agreeing that he should be on there. Then for the listeners, I'm wondering why we even have to go through if they accept nomination, since they will still be on the list, even if they are not there to accept the nomination.
Madam Chair.
Can I just finish this, please? Yes. Then please accept Wasserman on the nominations list, and he will have to later then send an email or something to make his wish known.
Madam Chair.
Yes, thank you. So I see a lot of hands up. Is this all pertaining to the situation with Harvey Wasserman or anything else? If not, if you're not talking about Harvey Wasserman, keep your hand up. If not, please take your hand down.
Madam Chair, mine is relevant to this.
Okay, Janine, go ahead.
In the effort to not waste more time, I will not challenge the chair on this, but as somebody who's been a teller before in elections, you know, you're putting your tellers in the position where they're not doing things per protocol. That's just my opinion. You know, this is nothing against Harvey or whatever. It has to do with you're putting somebody on the ballot that has not accepted a nomination. I think he should have until the end of the LSB meeting that follows this to be able to confirm, and then the tellers can send out the appropriate ballots. But I'm not going to challenge the chair on this.
Thank you. So, I mean, we possibly have to take then a vote if everybody who has by the end of this meeting, and this means the delegates assembly meeting, not the local station board meeting, made their wish known to the secretary or to me via email at least, or come onto the meeting. So, I mean, this is something I wonder if we should just take a vote on that, if this would be then clearer for everybody. Ruth, do you want to say something in regards to this?
Yes. John Gary was perfectly clear. He is already nominated, and you cannot set a timeline at the end of the meeting for him to accept. John Gary, those rules dictate by what time Harvey accepts.
Okay, thank you. John Tatum, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. It is in order now to do Roman numeral 2 A, B, and C. That's what's in order right now.
Okay, thank you. Rodrigo?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, Mr. Harvey can be reaching of the time that we have this meeting, and if he can confirm or not, because we're wasting a lot of time. He's not here. Maybe we can reach to him and find out, but I'm not in agreement to put all the names, you know, because then the people's going to be, like, getting confused. Whoever, you know, at this time already accepted to be nominated and to proceed with the elections and so forth has to be on that list. Whoever is declined is declined, you know, but we don't know exactly Mr. Harvey, you know, his position. Just like you can reach him, you know, in this time, would be fine, maybe somebody's friend, you know, whoever, unless at least he can send a text or, you know, just make a quick phone call or send an email or something so he can confirm whether he accepts or not his nomination. And that's it. We can proceed.
Thank you. Okay, so then are there any objections that we give Harvey Wasserman till the end of this meeting, which is the delegates assembly, to make his wish known either to John Gary or to me that he accepts?
Yes, there's an objection.
Yes, and I also object.
Okay. So to get...
Madam Chair, it's easier to put him on the... to leave him on the bat. But Madam Chair, right now, the staff nominees are Rodrigo Argueta, Myla Reason, and Harvey Wasserman, or that's in contention. Madam Chair, if Myla Reason will confirm that Harvey Wasserman confirmed to her that he accepts the nomination, that would be good enough. That's good enough for me. And I don't know what rule is violated by that. I mean, maybe other people have a different standard, but
point of information. Okay.
We should not have hearsay. You know, this is exactly. This is a meeting that he is protesting.
Yeah,
he's protesting taking part in this. That we're going to consider him a candidate.
Point of information.
What's your point of information, Ruth, please?
I'm not sure Harvey would be a staff nominee anyway. Delegate
in
Iowa,
and
somebody let me know.
Can somebody understand what she was saying? Because I didn't.
Nope. No.
Sorry, Ruth, your call is like somehow scrambled. I can't hear what
I heard her.
You heard her? What are you saying? What
I think she raised the question whether Harvey Wasserman was a staff to be a staff nominee. In my list, he's one of the staff LSB members, if I'm wrong, and he has a program, and he's. I mean, if I'm wrong about that, I can be corrected.
Thank you, John.
Okay, John Tatum, and then let's move on, please. Go ahead, John Tatum.
Yeah, that was my statement to move on because Roman numeral 2A has been completed. And possibly there may be no need to do Roman numeral 2B. And so we're now on Roman numeral 2C. So can we, Madam Chair, can we go to Roman numeral 2C and proceed from there? Thank you.
Thank you, John. I would like to. I just also wanted to hear all people's opinions. So now the secretary reads the final list of the staff nominees. So go ahead, John.
Rodrigo Argueta, Myla Reason, Harvey Wasserman.
So are there any objections to Harvey being on that call, on that list?
I'd like my objection noted, please. Thank you.
Okay, Janine.
Ziri, this is Paulina.
Gina, yes.
I realize that I should probably accept in case we need a runner-up.
Thank you, Paulina. That is very wonderful to hear. So, John, did you hear that? So, Paulina Vasiliev also accepts.
Yes.
Okay.
Next is candidate statements, Madam Chair.
Yes. Okay. Then let's go.
No. This is Eric. We haven't gone through the list of the listener delegate candidates, whether they accept or not.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, if you please review the agenda, the staff election and the listener elections are two different Roman numerals. Each one is done as a whole separately. We're not going to mix the two contexts.
I retract my comment. Sorry.
All right. Staff candidate statements are in order, Madam Chair.
Okay.
In my opinion, Madam Chair.
Yes. Do we have to read one more time the list with Paulina in the list?
It's very quick. Rodrigo Argueta, Myla Reason, Paulina Vasiliev, Harvey Wasserman, Madam Chair.
Okay. Now let's go to the candidate statement. And we have 2 minutes each then. The first one would be Rodrigo Argueta. Can you please make your statement?
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, well, I've been serving at this national board before and was part of the committees of inclusion, especially to make sure that the different communities of all, you know, our radio stations, you know, that we are serving, like New York, Texas, right here, Washington.
Can't put their hands down.
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead. Yes, we hear you.
Okay. So I've been serving in different committees too, especially at the Programming Oversight Committee, at the local station board, at KPFK, and also at national level. We were able to submit some important motions in terms of expanding the program, especially for Spanish programming up here in Los Angeles. And it was a motion that was actually approved for to be implemented nationally. Unfortunately, due to, prejudice, maybe, or whatever reasons, I don't want to argue right now about that, but it was not implemented at the national level. Now, but for now, I'm really interested in keeping our building. The issue is that the national board is deciding the fate of our KPFK building, and that is not correct. And I do make a call, you know, to everyone, no matter which position we might have, to fight together to keep it, because that building is already paid. You know, it's pretty much, you know, basically. Now, they are discussing, I heard yesterday, the whole discussion they have at the national board, and I don't know if some of you did, but yeah, one of the main things is that they are assuming that they are already selling the radio station. They say, a few months, you know, and now it's going to be on sale, and we're going to, you know, have, you know, 4 or 5
minutes. Your time is up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rodrigo. You can always, Eleanor, when somebody is in the middle of a sentence, just be a little lecturer maybe and let them finish the sentence. This is a very important position. And so if there's still the sentence you want to finish, Rodrigo, go ahead.
Yeah, basically what I wanted to say is that they are, you know, the price that they are putting to our building, 4 to 5 million. So you believe that in North Hollywood? That's what they're saying. They're going to sell it. And then they're saying, like, how much they're going to pay for this and for that. They don't even have an idea what the hell they are doing. I mean, to everybody of us, you know, they said, well, we're going to pay the expenses of the moving where, you know. So we have to really fight together, everyone, on this issue. Please, I ask you, fight together. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the next order. Is it first Myla Reason? Or is it, Myla Reason next, I believe?
How much time do I have?
2 minutes, thank you.
I couldn't hear you.
2 minutes, please. Thank you.
Okay. First of all, I would like to say that sorry that we are at this place right now. I think that this meeting is a huge embarrassment to the Pacifica Foundation. I would hope that delegates voting here today would familiarize themselves with the Pacifica bylaws, take a look at the reply that I've made to the opinion of John Tatum that was sent by Ciri Rudeau. Ciri Rudeau is not a director of the Pacifica Foundation. She is an officer of the local station board. She is not an officer of the board of directors. our another member, Bella DeSoto, is not a director of the foundation. She is a delegate for KPFK. She's not an officer of this local station board. She is not an officer of the Pacifica Foundation. So so the opinion, I'm just hoping that our delegates would take seriously enough their responsibilities as local station board members and delegates to familiarize themselves with the bylaws and not to rely on other people's opinions that may or may not be reliable or valid. And it's just very unfortunate that people are unwilling to understand that we will not have new representation on the Pacifica National Board if we continue to defy the board of directors for this foundation. And it's just really sad state of affairs, and this is we're outdoing Kafka right now. It's just extraordinary to me that this is the circus is continuing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Milo. So next is Paulina Vasiliev, please.
Sure. Thank you, everybody. First of all, I endorse the candidacy of Rodrigo Argueta for the Pacifica National Board, and I urge everybody to give him your number one vote. I will accept the number two vote, given the fact that Rodrigo's position on the local station board might be in dispute at some point. If that is the case, we do want solid representation coming from those of us who are not affiliated with the lawsuits, the types of that New Day has brought on, and I believe the other candidates are affiliated with the people who have been very detrimental to this foundation. Who have resulted in hundreds of thousands of dollars spent by Pacifica to defend itself from spurious lawsuits, and so that's my position. I will be willing to serve should it become necessary for any reason, but I definitely endorse Mr. Argueta for the National Board.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paulina. Has Harvey Wasserman shown up by now? Is he present or not? I don't see him in the list. Okay, so then we probably won't have a statement from Harvey Wasserman. So that those were all the statements. Now comes the board questions to candidates. So two questions for each candidate, 90 seconds answers maximum. Please raise your hands if you have any questions for the candidates. I will actually have a question for the candidate. I'm going to raise my hand here. Okay, Eric, go ahead. Eric Jacobson, go ahead.
I'll follow you, Zeri. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I actually have a question for Myla Reason. So my question would be, would you be in favor of the sale of the KPFK building if you were to go to the PNC? Would you in favor of having elections this year if you would go to the PNB? And if so, when? And also, would you hold the PNB accountable for breaches of bylaws that have occurred in the past? Thank you.
Thank you for that question, Zuri. I'll start with the third question. You and I are not in agreement about whether or not the bylaws have been breached. It's my opinion that the bylaws have not been breached by the PNB. Were they to be breached, I would, in fact, want to hold people accountable for that breach. Secondly, you asked about the elections. I was elected to the elections committee to serve on the PNB elections committee by the KPFK local station board. I have been started advocating for elections back early 2022. I think it's unfortunate that that the elections were postponed, and I think that they need to be conducted as soon as possible. And I am hoping that we can begin that process this year and find the resources to conduct those elections promptly. And I think that we're here in this situation today in part because of the failure to conduct the elections last year. They were not canceled, they were postponed, and that is unfortunate in my view. With respect to the KPFK building, I would like to find a way to take the building off of the market. I think that we need to find a way to raise funding to retain the building, and that's what I favor. Thank you.
Thank you.
And may I also just add that the litigation that Paulina spoke about was initiated by Pacifica. It was not initiated by the New Day Pacifica, and so I'm really saddened by the fact that people keep repeating that when New Day attempted to engage in arbitration rather than.
Not part of your statement as a PNB.
Well, I'm used to you interrupting me, Siri, so I'm not surprised.
Your time is way up anyway.
Well, okay. Thank you, Eleanor. So if the time is up, please, say time, and then they can just finish their sentence. Thank you so much. Eric, go ahead.
I also have a question for Myla. Myla, how do you assess the dilemma that's created by the part of the bylaws that require LSBs to hold delegate elections to the PMB every January, and the part of the bylaws that make the service on the PMB a one-year term, thereby causing the PMB to be an entirely new PMB body to take office every year. How do you assess the dilemma that we are in that process now, and are at least there's a lot of controversy about it, and whether we'll be able to succeed in electing PMB members from our station in January, as prescribed by the bylaws, if your general point of view prevails. I'm troubled by it because I don't want our station to be without PNB representation for even a day. And I believe the new PNB takes office immediately after all the LSBs complete their elections. So to me, it's something that's, we're in a situation where our delegate assembly is our internal affair, and we have to see it through. That's my view. What's your view, if you have one? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but do you see that as even a part of the dilemma here?
Excellent question. And I agree. We have dilemma piled upon dilemma piled upon dilemma. We are now on the 15th day of January. We have two more Sundays during which we could fulfill our obligation to conduct a delegate election, a timely delegate election. I think that what would have to occur in order to accomplish that, and I'm really hoping that we will have representation on the Pacifica National Board, the way that we would accomplish that would be to hold a delegate assembly comprised of people who are recognized by the Pacifica National Board as members, legitimate members of that delegate assembly. That would include people who, in my mind, were wrongfully taken out of the local station board, and that would be Ali Lexa, Barbara Marbach, and Sandy Childs. I think that they should be recognized as being legitimate delegates with legitimate delegate rights. And the people who replace them should not be allowed to vote in the delegate assembly. Furthermore, the litigation is the Pacifica versus New Day is coming before the court on the 19th. And at that time, the judge may well decide to seat the top vote getters from the last delegate election. And those individuals are Adam Molman, Okay, so Payne, I'm sorry. Just
in Grand Rising, Paul Robertson is in the room. Sorry for my tardiness.
Hi, Paul. Anyway, Robert Payne, Nancy Perlman, and Adam Wollman may well be included by the judge as properly seated delegates, and so the composition of the electorate may change within the next few days, and I think that we should wait for that ruling and convene a proper delegate assembly next Sunday. That's my opinion. Thank you.
And thank you. Eleanor, I think she spoke a lot more than 2 minutes, but okay. So, Grace, do you have a point of order or something?
I have a question for Myla.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, let me switch the... Okay. Myla, do you agree with and endorse, or do you repudiate the slate mailer that your slate, which you were on in the last local station board election, do you endorse or repudiate the fundraising done to have a lawsuit against Pacifica regarding that was on the back of that postcard? Do you endorse New Day's effort to misuse KPFK membership lists to raise money for a lawsuit against Pacifica? I want a specific answer. Were you in favor of that? Are you in favor of it now? Or do you currently repudiate that effort to raise money illegally using KPFK membership lists for a lawsuit against Pacifica?
Grace, I object to the framing of your question. First of all, New Day was not raising money to sue Pacifica. The lawsuit was initiated by Pacifica against New Day. New Day was raising money to defend the majority of voters. The largest turnout in Pacifica history voted in favor of the new bylaws. Pacifica sued New Day to prevent those member-approved bylaws revisions from being implemented. They broke no law whatsoever. You, however, broke a law when you sent out your slate mailer because you asked for money for to underwrite, to pay for the mailing and other purposes. Other purposes perhaps might have been paying you and your husband, Ken, as officers of the Social Uplift Foundation. That actually was illegal. But there was nothing illegal about the statement on the candidate mailer, and all of the candidates refused to agree to send out a slate mailer confessing to a crime that they did not commit.
Okay, thank you. So currently I don't see any more hands up for any further questions. So this was now the part where we...
This is Grace with a point of personal privilege.
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, first of all, it's false that the slate mailer sent out for another slate that I endorsed did not have a solicitation for funds. And Myla just said something incorrect. And on the, I will put in the chat, a photo of the slate mailer sent out by Myla's faction. And where it solicits funds fund a lawsuit against Pacifica. I will put in the chat a photo of that solicitation. And Myla, you did not answer my question. Were you in favor of that solicitation that was included when you were endorsed by the New Day slate?
I was not aware of it at the time. But I think that it was a legal solicitation, not to sue Pacifica, but to defend the rights of the majority of Pacifica voters who voted for new bylaws.
Okay, Thank you very much for everybody discussing this now. So I would like to move on to the PNB listener directors election now. We have now 30 minutes for the motion of Eric. The first would be that the secretary reads the nominees. Go ahead, John, please.
Grace Aaron, do you accept?
I do not.
Thank you. Christina Avalos, do you accept the nomination?
No. Can you pass right now?
Yes. Fred Blair, do you accept the nomination?
No, I decline.
Bella DeSoto, do you accept the nomination? Is Bella unmute?
Yes, I accept. Thank you.
Eric C. Jacobson, do you accept the nomination?
I'm currently, in the upcoming year, going to represent the LSB on the Elections Committee of the PNB. So I'm going to not spread myself thin. I'm going to decline and concentrate fully and enthusiastically on the duties on the elections, PNB Elections Committee. As we can tell, crucial importance that they come out properly in 2023.
Thank you. Avelia Jones, do you accept the nomination?
Who has this muted background? Please mute.
I passed. I didn't understand that I was nominated for anything here.
Madam Chair, if I could clarify, before the December 31st deadline, an LSB member nominated all.
I see. Okay.
Eligible candidates, and you're free to accept or decline. Or you can pass. I can come back later.
Yes. Please let me pass because this is like, oh, okay, pass.
Okay. Oyeyipo, you accept the nomination.
I decline.
Thank you. Paul Roberson, do you accept the nomination?
Respectfully, I decline. Thank you.
Elizabeth von Gunten, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Carlos Zavala, do you accept the nomination?
I'm sorry, I'm too busy. Thank you, though.
Okay, and several people passed. I don't know if this is enough time to consider, but Christina Avalos, do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
And Avelia Jones, do you accept the nomination?
I decline.
Mr. Secretary, Ms. Oscar Villora.
Exactly. I wanted to just mention to John that are not on that list for whatever reason that are also eligible. For example, let me go through the list. There is Marisol Cruz. There is.
I think board officers can't be nominated. Well, they can't run.
Yeah, they can.
They can. All right.
So you have to include the board officers also. That means Marisol Cruz, Janine Rohn, and myself. So everybody has served at least a year. And is there anybody else we're missing? I think that's it. Yeah, so if you please include these three also.
Marisol Cruz, do you accept the nomination?
Madam Chair.
Yes, I accept.
Sorry, who was speaking there?
Someone
that was Marisol.
No, but there was a man's voice, man trying to get the floor.
It sounded like Oscar.
That was Oscar Ulloa.
Oscar, do you need to say something?
Yeah, I was in the past. I declined the nomination, and I will accept it again.
Oh, you would accept now. Okay.
Okay. Ziri Radu? Yes. Okay, thank you. Ziri Radu, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, I do.
Janine Roan, do you accept the nomination?
I do, thank you.
And Oscar Ulloa also accepted. So,
Beth, point of order.
What's your point of order, Beth?
When I was asked, when I was nominated for the PNB for the first time, I was at the time chair of the LSB. And in order to accept that nomination, I was required to resign the position of chair. I turned the gavel over to Paul Roberson, the vice chair, in the middle of that meeting. And that's why we have officers' elections before we have directors' elections, so that people can sort these things out then, and we don't leave the board itself in turmoil of lacking officers. I don't have in front of me where those restrictions are. They're likely somewhere in the bylaws. I know what I was required to do when I stood for election, and it was clear enough and strict enough that I met with the tellers and others the day before to work out what the protocol would be for at what point in the meeting I needed to relinquish the gavel and stand on my own. And Paul took up the mantle and carried on. So I don't think it's true that there aren't requirements. I didn't expect this.
Beth, are you completed?
Yes. So I challenge this. I don't think it's appropriate.
I'm getting ready to speak.
And I would also like to request that any material provided to the committee or to the meeting has to, if it's provided in the chat, it has to be emailed for those of us who are not on the video function of this. In order to be legal, all the interactions between board members have to be audible in the meeting. And if you're going to provide written material in the chat, not everyone has access to that. And there are questions about whether it's legal to use it at all during a meeting with members. But I would request that anything that is made available through the chat, please be emailed to the members of the LSB, and that the chat be saved at the end of this meeting and provided to everyone who was present. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. So I first would like to hear from John Tatum and then Bella DeSoto, please. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, for recognizing me. I did see someone in the chat who says that you do not have to resign to be nominated, and I agree with that because a nominee is different from a person who actually has been voted in, elected. So that's a true statement. Thank you.
Okay, Madam Chair, we still need clarity. I was under the impression that you couldn't be a board officer and a director at the same time. Maybe the IGM could, IGM's had a lot of experience with this. Maybe
Madam
you could...
Chair, my hand is up.
Yes, I want to first address this myself, John, and then Bella can speak. And then if Michael wants to say something, he can. So whoever gets elected, that is totally correct, will have to step down from their role as an officer. You cannot have both, absolutely. And so, Bella, you want to say something about this?
I wanted to reaffirm what John Tatum explained. Thank you. So we can move on.
Thank you. Michael Novick, do you want to say anything about this? Michael?
I'm looking at the bylaws now. I seem to remember that it said that if you're elected, if an officer is elected as a director, they had to resign as an officer, but I'm looking for it.
Yes, thank you for looking for that. Okay, and so I see a hand up from...
Yeah, my hand is still up.
So your hand is still up. Okay, so John, go ahead.
Yeah, while Michael is looking for that, Robert's Rules of Order says that if you're a nominee, then you're only a potential officer in that right. But once you are elected, that would be the time to resign. So nobody can resign at this meeting because nobody's elected at this meeting.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Let's see.
Avelia.
Avelia, go ahead.
Hi. I understand better what you're saying and doing. I'm going to accept instead of decline. Instead of decline, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Avelia. So John Hickman, Avelia also accepted nomination. And so now we're coming to, are there any other nominations from the floor? Probably not, because those were all the...
Chair, if I could speak for a moment, I did find it in the bylaws. Article 7, Local Station Board, Section 5, Election of Officers. The last sentence says, local station board officers may not serve concurrently as foundation directors and must resign their position as an LSB officer if elected to the board of directors.
Okay. Thank you very much for looking this up, Michael. That means once you're elected, resign. And that would be true if either any of the officers, including Janine or me, would be elected to the PMB, we would have to resign from our current officer position. Absolutely. Thank you. And so now we're going next to the... So the secretary reads the final list of the nominees, of the listener nominees, please.
Christina Avalos, Bella DeSoto, Beth Von Gunten, Marisol Cruz, Avelia Jones, Ziri Rideau, Janine Roan, Oscar Ulloa.
Thank you, John. And so now we come to the statements of the candidates. We originally had 2 minutes each, but because time got extended, I would say we could have 4 minutes each, since this is a very important position. And so who's the first one? John, who's the first one in the list? Is it
Madam Chair?
What is it, Bella? Do you have a
can we hear from Oscar Ulloa, who is staff, so we can dispense with the staff first?
Okay. So John, so Oscar Ulloa has joined also the nominees of the staff. So I would think this is an appropriate suggestion to first hear from him and then from all the listeners. So Oscar, if you're there, could you please speak for 2 minutes?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Well, pretty much at this point, most of what we see in reality is part of a big, big issue. And in my opinion, and checking with some other people, looks like unfortunately, bylaws have never encountered a problem or an issue like this, where we are not able to figure out when terms are being ended for different delegates or different officers. And this put us in a position where we have to try to figure out ourselves what is going on. And if possible, and if at some point somebody gets elected, I will try to push to get a motion to definitely resolve this big issue. The simple fact that we don't know, we are not able to figure out when the office's term is ended and who is going to replace them. I think it's a big, big hole that it was not considered, and unfortunately also because of financial situation, that we're not being able to do elections on due time. So I want to be part of this process, and my whole compromise, as always, as many of you, I'm a working person every single time of every single week. Like right now, as we speak, I'm working. I'm a physical worker. And yet I do not have the knowledge of the knowledge of many of you, or regarding procedures, or regarding all the bureaucratic stuff. But what I do have is a lot of heart into. We need to fix all the stuff, and it's too bad that we call about factions, that we call about groups, and that we call about all this difference, when in the end we all supposed to have a common goal, which is the growing and the empowerment of our foundation and our station. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Master.
So that was Oscar's statement. So now statements of the listener director's election. So the first one, I believe, is Christina Avalos. Please go ahead. So you have 4 minutes.
Yes, I'd like to represent the LSB and provide clear communication. There seems to be a lot of confusion, and I think that's priority. That's number one. And also to advocate, you know, what we're here for to do. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much, Christina. Next, I believe, is Bella De Soto.
Yes, thank you very much. I am, when I ran as a candidate for the LSB, first I have been involved with KPFK Pacifica, KPFK for many years as a volunteer in many different levels. I have always tried to work for transparency as a bookkeeper as well, demanding accurate, timely reporting. In that vein, I have tried to be elected to the PMB for the last 3 years, and deceit and misrepresentation has been laid out to defame my character for political reasons. And I hope that this year people have a clear head where we are today in the decisions that we must undertake. And I assure everyone that, first of all, my position and goal is to continue upholding Pacifica Foundation's bylaws and not to divert. And in that fashion, I hope to be a use equilibrium, collectivity, and comprehensive a process to get the work done at the national level, which requires a great deal of attention and dedication. It's a very demanding position. Thank you for your support, Bella De Soto. Thanks.
Thank you, Bella. So who would be next? Is this Evelia Jones?
Okay, I'm here. Thank you. This is sort of a rush deal, but first of all, I want to thank everyone in the LSB for allowing me to learn, which it has been a learning experience about Pacifica and KPFK. I've learned a lot. And so that's why I've decided to get back in, because I don't want to lose what you have invested in me, the information, the knowledge, the procedure, the history. This is a very, very serious time for the foundation. Let me go one more time and try to use what I know. I'm a peace seeker, and I do speak for myself. I don't go by faction necessarily. But thank you, and I will continue and maybe be more vocal in this round. I've got stuff to say for sure. My goal is to see the station functioning well. Maybe I can be a part of it. And to finally get out into the community, which is what I joined it for. Let's see what 23 will bring. Thank you.
Thank you, Avelia. Well, John, can you help me? Who comes in the next order? Because I don't know if Marisol comes next or... First, Beth Van Gunten, so tell me.
John, yes, next is Beth.
Okay, Beth, go ahead.
Hello, thank you. Yes, so I was first elected to the LSB 3 years ago and first elected to the PNB 1 year after that in December of 2020. I've served now for just over 2 years. First of all, I show up. I attend all meetings in time. I have yet to miss a national PNB meeting from throughout my term. The same is true for the National Finance Committee and other committees. I take on at least my share of committee work, and I do it
Lawrence always called me a worker bee like him, and he was right. We definitely had that in common. It was a real bond. My first year on this LSB body, the LSB elected me to serve on the PNB Governance Committee. Once I was on the PNB, I was elected by the PNB for 2 years each to the National Finance Committee, the National Strategic Planning Committee, and the Personnel Committee. I chair the National Development Task Force since the first that I was asked a year and a half ago. I've authored many major resolutions that have since been passed, including the KPFK resolution to oppose the sale of the KPFK building and a confidential PNB motion to get control of a certain local management problem a few months ago. Many of you may remember. And the most recently, last Thursday, the resolution to establish a Pacific document archive, all of which have passed without opposition. I was elected to serve this year as PNB vice chair. It puts me in the weekly management meetings of officers in the ED, so I have my finger on the pulse of the national organization. Factional fighting, I think, is tearing Pacifica limb from limb. And so I'm famously non-factional. I don't align myself with either faction. In Pacifica, that makes me an odd one out, meaning I have to work for every vote and earn it. We may not always agree on every issue, but wherever you fall on the political spectrum, I hope I've earned your respect and confidence for the value I bring to the table for Pacifica. I go into this with my eyes wide open. No one's better in a better position to hit the ground running than I. I hope I've earned your number one vote and another vote of confidence. I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve again. And whoever you choose, this has turned out to be more than a full-time job. It's some of the hardest work I've ever taken on. It's an extremely steep learning curve. I second Avelia's take on that. And whoever you send to the PNB should be prepared to show up and work to shoulder the burden. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. So John, who is next in the list? Is it Rachel next? Okay, so Marisol, go ahead.
Thank you, everyone, for the nominations and opportunity to be of service in this new capacity. I am going to be honest with you. I have a lot to learn. And because it's seems late, I think there's great opportunity for me to see with new eyes from an outsider, quote-unquote, perspective. I think it's going to give us a lot of light in regards to problem solving and team building opportunities. To be a PNB director, it's quite an undertaking on my behalf, being pretty much new to this new understanding. And I will rely much on all of you for support, for guidance. And I think this is the opportunity for team building on any fashion, because at the end of the day, we are a governing body. And it requires great leadership, and I believe I am a leader in many realms. And this will serve us well at that level. And I have a commitment to show up, be present, and do the work, do the learning, and put it to practice. Of course, with your help and support, so we could all be victorious at the national level. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I also just saw for a moment George Funmaker popping up there. So, John, can you verify if George Funmaker is on the call now? George Funmaker?
Yes, this is George. I'm here.
Thank you. So we're in the middle of basically the nominations, and so that you just know, there's statements now from, since you're eligible to vote, there are statements right now from the listener directors for the elections. And this is for the PNB elections. And so who is the next one? Janine, could you please make your statement?
Yes, Hi. Well, I'm excited that Marisol is running. She always has such a centered feel to everything she brings to us. And I wanted to just, you know, I started as a volunteer and I ended up being secretary and I ended up going to the LSB. I was from 2001 to the beginning of this last term. And in that time, I've been on the finance committee for 3 years. I've been on the outreach, the programming committee. I was part of I got voted onto the GM search committee. I was voted at the national level to the audit committee, to the elections committee. I chaired the elections committee task force and did a lot of coalition building there. So, I feel like I understand the workings of the board. But I also think, and this came up in the chat, what got us to this place? And I think we need new voices in the PNB. And I know that I just was elected treasurer and I'm very honored about that. And I put some thought to that. And I think as a director, if I was to be elected, I could still partake in the finance committee as a director. And I would continue going to the finance committees, the local committee, because overall, what I think both the LSB and the PNB need is to get their house in order. And that's why I'm so driven by the finance committees, because I feel like we've got other options besides selling our building. I feel like we still have some time. And if we could shore up, and I really don't think and Stephanie will say this, you can hear this on meetings, like things have not been funneled and put into an accessible form for anybody wanting to, invest or loan or whatever. And I really believe that Michael Novick is doing some really great changes with the station. You know, he's taking a look at programming. We've started the local news. We're really putting a lot of energy towards social media. I still believe that it's going to come from the community, which is, where it should come. We just need to shift how we're getting our membership up. Mm-hmm. So I would appreciate your vote. I'm happy to be number two to Marisol. I feel like I would be a good person in the room, which is the same thing I said about the treasurer position. We want people in the room that are going to fight for the station and because, everybody's fighting for their own stations right now. We want a strong voice there. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine. So is there any other candidate I have forgotten, or should I make my statement, John? Is there anybody else you can see?
You are next.
So, yes, thank you very much for the nomination. I would like to be on the PNB and think I could be very effective there, because generally I'm a person that communicates clearly. I believe I'm a bridge builder between groups. And I think the factionism, exactly as was expressed before, is what's taking Pacifica down. And I also feel that there needs to be, just like what Janine says, a new voice or new voices and a new generation at the PNB. So we need to have a new start there, because the current PNB has engaged in actions that really violate the bylaws and are in many ways very troublesome and has not communicated with us. One clear sign of that is that we sit here at the KPFK and we have not been told by the PNB that they are close to, we have 4 minutes, I'm sorry, that we are extremely close to selling this building. And they are going, like Julie Hewitt has gone to other LSBs and talk about this and saying, oh, they're just around like only three more real estate agents. They have to decide who is going to sell it. So this is something that should stop. We need to have transparency. We need to have a clear understanding that we can serve our members and our listeners, and they should be our first responsibility. So I believe that we should not try to engage in this PNB that is a top-down authoritarian entity, we should have a bottom-up, democratically functioning Pacifica, and we will be a very, very important voice in the time to come where transparency and honesty is needed in media reporting and also as a station that is a community resource. We are the commons, and we should not be basically denigrated by this kind of dictatorial approach to how to run this foundation, but we all have to come together. And so I very much hope that you vote for me as number one, and thank you for your trust. Okay, so this was my statement. Now there are
the 30 minutes are up.
I'm sorry? Yeah, the 30 minutes are up. I'm aware of that. Thank you very much.
Jerry, may I be ready?
Who is this? Paulina, go ahead.
Yeah, I move to extend for, give me a reasonable, what, 10?
Yeah, maybe 10, 15 minutes.
15. And I seek a second.
Okay.
Bella, second?
A second.
Thank you very much.
So Bella, second.
Started. Thank you very much. And so we wanted to, so you can get on the stack now since we have board questions to the candidates. So two questions maximum per candidate and 90 seconds maximum for the answer, please, and for the question. Thank you so much. First, I see, and this is just, so I see Raymond Goldstone, but this is actually for the board first. So Eric, go ahead.
I'd like to ask all the candidates for a brief response to the following question. Do you support and believe in the current bylaws that create a structure of governance for Pacifica that begins with LSB elections by the members and then proceeds to the LSB having in the type of election we're having right now of within its members, who is best suited to serve on the PNB and creating the PNB that way, as it has been since 2003? Or do you believe that that structure is somehow dysfunctional in some way, that it needs to be ended, not mended, because any bylaws can be mended, thoughtfully and helpfully. But there has been movement for the last 3 years, a concerted movement to end these bylaws and have a wholesale replacement and have Pacifica governance completely restructured. We've had two referendums to that effect. I'd like to ask each candidate, do you support fundamentally the way things are being done, such as what we're doing today, or are you open to a wholesale, another effort at a wholesale overhaul and overthrow of the current Pacifica governance structure? And it can be a brief answer with a very short elaboration if you so choose. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Is there anybody of the candidates who wants to answer this? I would like to answer it, but you guys should go first.
Yes.
Let's go through the list.
Evelia, you want to answer?
Yes. Yeah. If you don't mind, Mr. Jacobson and everyone listening, I think it needs a change. I think some changes are necessary. The times have changed since those bylaws even were amended. They don't work. They don't function for all the situations we've been looking at and dealing with. Now, the process for changing them needs work as well. I find it wonderful and thrilling in my heart when people defend the bylaws, you know, that even date back to Lew Hill. But this is not the time of Lew Hill. It's a good beacon light, but yes, let's change them. That's my answer. Does it have to be like New Day dictates? Not entirely, but I'd like to see some options. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Evelia. Anybody else of the candidates who wants to respond before me? Beth, do you want to say something?
Sure. While I
I recognize the difficulties with our current bylaws and recognize that anything can be improved, and these would be. We need to work on that. Fundamentally, I support democratic process, and I wouldn't want us to evolve or be jolted away from that long, strong legacy that we really have modeled for the media community. So I don't support the effort to the two bylaws referenda. I agree with the critics that we do need to address problems in the bylaws, and I'd be willing to work on that. But I don't want to evolve away from a democratic process. I work to uphold a democratic process. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Janine Bella, go ahead, Janine.
Thank you. I was actually on the Bylaws Committee Task Force with Beth a few years ago. So, you know, there's definitely things to kind of iron out, and our elections are one of them. There's a lot of a lot of things that we cited in the Elections Committee that doesn't get followed or needs to be more clear. But I believe overall that we shouldn't be replacing our governance the way we govern. And the way I look at it is sort of like, would you really be better off? There may be chaos, but would you be better off with just senators and not having congressmen? You know, it's kind of like, no, you want that representation there. And that's the best case scenario for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine. Bella, go ahead.
Yes. So for a number of years, since I was there when this set of bylaws was adopted, I was on the subcommittee, bylaw subcommittee, for almost 2.5 years working hard with a group of people to help draft such language. However, the language that should have been adopted was another set of bylaws, which was inclusive and gave the LSBs the power to execute, which was taken away when this set of bylaws was adopted. I have been calling for a bylaws convention for a long time, not to replace our bylaws, but to make corrections. However, it is the process by which that should be conducted that is just as urgent and just as important. It should not be done in the darkness. It should be done in the transparency of daylight, and it should be done network-wide with everyone's involvement. That means all of the internal folks that are elected to the system, as well as the public. And it should be done via open forum, and everyone should be involved, no matter how long it takes, because we are not to replace our bylaws, nor our mission. These are classic. These are our mission is a standard global focus and is eternal. So I am interested in making very pertinent corrections. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. So, okay, then the only other candidate I see who wants to respond to Eric's question would be also me. I am also very much in favor for an elected board structure. So that means democracy and bottom-up democracy. We have the actual mandate from the listeners, sponsors and members, and we have been elected with a lot more voices actually than people that eventually are in the PNB and just elected upwards. And so I feel it's very important to uphold our bylaws and then to modify them to make the process clearer, like some of my other co-candidates have stated. I think it's a very important way to improve the bylaws and the way that it upholds the elected board structure and the democratic underlying principles much better. We're dealing right now with a PMB, which in my opinion has gone rogue, and that is only possible because bylaws are in some ways vague. Some things are very clear, like the six-year delegates cannot serve anymore. This is one clear thing in there, but a lot of other things are unclear and left to interpretation, and we have to develop much clearer language to protect the interest of the listeners and the members who are the real soil on which Pacifica grows. Thank you. So, okay, Eric, this was your question. Is there anybody else who wants to answer this? Since this is only the segment where board questions are given to candidates, so I ask the public who has their hands up, please to hold their questions for a little later. So now we come to number four, which is the teller instructions. So is that, is Terry Goodman there?
Excuse me, but when will I have an opportunity to ask questions?
Sorry, I didn't see this as you because it has a different name on there. So Myla, what's that called? Myla, go ahead.
Oh, great. I have a question for you, Siri.
Yeah.
I read the opinion that you sent out of John Tatum regarding the suspension. Mm-hmm. And so my question to you is, because he named you as a director of Pacifica, of the Pacifica Foundation, and then cited bylaws and rules pertaining to the removal or suspension of a director. I'd like to know whether you consider yourself at this time to be a director and whether or not you have familiarized yourself enough with the bylaws to understand that at this point in time, you are an officer of the local station board, not of the Pacifica National Board, and that you are not a director of the Pacifica National Board at this time, but rather a delegate and a member of the local station board.
Okay,
Mr. Tatum has his hand up.
I would like Mr. Tatum, since this is his opinion that he has wrote first, to answer, and then I can say something about this. So, John Tatum, go ahead. John, you have to unmute, please. John Tatum.
Yes, thank you for giving me the opportunity to respond. My opinion was based not just on officers, directors, or delegates. My opinion was based on the individual member of Pacifica. Every member of Pacifica Incorporated has a vote. Robert's Rules of Order says one man, one woman, one vote. And so the members are members, delegates are members, directors are members, and officers are members. So my opinion is directed to members. Now, some of you officers and directors and delegates, you pay money out of your pocket, that's fine. Some of you volunteer your time by going to meetings around the clock, committee meetings, etc. We are all members of Pacifica. So the individual member has due process. They have rights to vote. They have rights to speak at meetings. You know, so this opinion is not directed to just one section, staffers, listeners, or anything like that. It's directed to the individual person who is putting their time in to Pacifica. Thank you.
Thank you, John. So, Myla, I want to also just say one more time, yes, I consider myself not a director because I am just an officer. I am just a chair and a member, as John said. I don't know, maybe this was a misnomer that he called me a director, so I never claimed that. This was, I just shared his opinion because I felt it had all the good quotings in there from the bylaws, from California Corporate Code, and from Robert's Rules of Order to see what the law actually says. So that would be my answer. Thank you.
Follow up, you just said you're an officer. Do you concede that you are not an officer of the national board, but
no,
merely an officer of the local station board?
Yes, of course. Of course. No national board at all. No, so next is Grace, please.
Yes. I strongly support Ziri Rideau as a candidate for the position of PNB director because I have found her to be extremely intelligent, dedicated, and efficient. And I think she's a very quick learner. and is willing to take on a role that would be of benefit to Pacifica. In that light, I would like you, Ziri, to explain to us a little bit about your past accomplishments prior to your service on the KPFK local station board.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, I have a master's degree in international politics and a master's degree in journalism and investigative journalism, and worked for many, many years, in total probably about 20, 25 years, for various large mainstream media outlets, including the BBC, Reuters, Agence France-Presse, and, you know, a lot of other European stations, and traveled the world 5 years as a war correspondent, which is probably why I'm a little calm on the fire. I do think that this has taught me, you know, to be calm in a difficult situation. I also have, as some of you know, a funeral home where I'm dealing with very emotionally difficult situations all the time. I do feel that at the PNB right now, there's an impasse that I would love to overcome, because I feel nobody at the PNB ever called me up and says, hey, what's the problem? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? You know, all I'm getting is suspended. So I'm getting just, oh, I'm suspended, this and that. And so nobody talks to me. Nobody talks to us, really. And this needs to change, because if we are basically the parents here on the ground and sending, you know, up to the PMB people, then they should also communicate with us and are to a certain degree beholden to us and our rights as well. So to develop this as a totally independent, intransparent body where, you know, where we can always just hope for some crumbs to fall off the table while our building is sold out from under us is, to me, really unacceptable. And so I hope that these skills that I have learned, I've also had five different businesses over my life in very different areas. I ran the, we had a celebrity photo agency, which was the 15th biggest celebrity photo agency in the world, actually. I did the funeral home. I did a recycling company. So a film production company. So I did a lot of different things, and I'm a serial entrepreneur. And yes, I do, I think, learn relatively quickly, which I also am interested in taking on new tasks. So I'm very honored to serve you. And this is exactly what I'm trying to do, be a facilitator, not some egomaniac, as some of you have maybe painted me in the past. Thank you. So there, I see another hand up of Eric. Go ahead, Eric.
Yes, I'm a strong supporter of Beth Mongutin for a re-election. And I based that on my observation. She and I came on to the LSB in late 2019 over these past 3 years in multiple roles, including LSB chair in her first year and then on the PMB since. And I'd like just to ask Beth to talk a little bit about her background briefly, and also the what she considers to be the achievements of the PNB during her tenure on it, because what people tend to forget in all of the sort of news of the moment, news of the day, is how far the Pacifica Foundation has come from the problems it was experiencing only 4 or so years ago, when it was horribly behind on its audits and really had major major problems with its financial house. Now, being not in order now, that those problems have unfortunately continued, and some options that I disagree with, that I call Malthusian, have been under consideration. But they should not obscure that there have been achievements, and that overall the foundation is not on any type of cliff. Beth, can you speak to some of this briefly, if you would?
Beth, can you hear us? Beth Van Gunten?
Sorry, I had to unmute. Yeah, so when I came on to the LSB,
Well, when I came on to the year after that, after I had been on the LSB for a year and served as chair for the last, I guess, about 4 months of that year, when I was elected to the PNB, I was then further elected to the National Finance Committee and picked up for the first time on where we were at the time. At that point, we were years behind in our audit, and it was mystifying, having served on a number of other boards, it was mystifying how, to me, how an organization could get this far off track without some course correction along the way. But we dug in and were able to catch up on all the past audits. During my term, my first term and into the second term, we're now current with our audits and on track to be on time with the next one. And that's like, I guess, about the third year running. That's an accomplishment. That doesn't mean we're perfect. That doesn't mean there doesn't need to be a lot more work done. We had the great benefit of NEDA as our financial services agency for a couple of years, which worked wonders. Unfortunately, with the increasingly difficult economy and further downtrends in listenership, radio listenership across the board, but Pacifica in particular, we haven't been able to keep up with financial demands.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much, Beth. Ruth, I see your hand up. Do you have a question?
No, I don't have a question. I want to make a statement about candidates.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, number one, I support Beth von Gutten, both for the fact that she knows parliamentary procedure very well. She's experienced, and she's not allied with any faction. Number two, I am speaking against Thierry Rideau as a cardiologist, a published scientist, have given my research. I'm also published in a textbook. I've had an NIH grant. I've given my research at national meetings of esteemed organizations, and I've also published in peer-reviewed journals. I don't usually toot my horn like that, but Ziri has been spreading a lot of disinformation about COVID. I am not a pro-vaxxer, but she has repeatedly made comments that were wrong. I asked for a moratorium from Michael, not anything more than a moratorium till she produced sources. She did not produce sources and has not to this date. It is classist, racist, and ageist to say that vaccines are dangerous. The most marginalized communities are the ones that are at risk, and Blue Hill would not have wanted to endanger marginalized communities. Further, she has had a person named DeMar on. He's promoted Maria Butina. Last night, he promoted Jim Jordan. Anybody who promotes Jim Jordan, I venture to say, does not have KPFK's mission statement or anything else in order. So she is choosing people who are right-wing, and I just don't even know whether she's a mole or a right-wing mole or what. But I'm speaking against that candidacy. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. I would like to have a point of personal privilege to answer these very severe accusations. So first of all, I'm absolutely no right winger. And other than hear, funny enough, from some of the New Day affiliated people, I've never, ever heard this in my life, that I am right wing or racist or stuff like this. I don't spread disinformation. The information we put on the news show that Ruth is referring to are well-sourced. There are a lot of very well-established doctors.
Why have you not provided me with sources?
I'm speaking right now, who have basically spoken out. Those are doctors and scientists. I'm not a doctor and a scientist. And all I want is to open the conversation about this topic that has dominated our lives basically for 3 years. I feel that both sides need to be heard, and this is exactly what we are about. And if you look into the mission statement, and especially mentions
Lou Hill, it's all about having a facilitated, informed, civilized conversation. This is what prevents collapse in society, that contradictions or different opinions can be heard instead of keeping them under and censoring them, where they later then break out in violent, stupid ways. So this is what I
asked for references. I have not been given them.
Actually, I have sent you emails with links, Ruth, but I'm still speaking. I'm sorry. So I feel this is a little bit of a character assassination there. I hope that you can disregard this kind of statement. And so I have nothing but the mission statement and the best interest of Pacifica in mind. Thank you. So I see here the hand up from Beth. Is there anybody? So Beth, go ahead. And then we're basically out of time for the, go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I just wanted to refer people, board members and listeners, to my 2 years of regular monthly director's reports filed at all the LSB meetings and sent by email. And if anyone else wants to receive that, please let me know and I'll add you to the list. As far as I know, they're all still posted to the KPFT website, and I'd be happy to answer questions about those. And further along the line of communication.
Is this an additional candidate statement here? Or?
Yeah, we're not doing additional candidate statements. We're asking questions.
Well,
so,
I wanted to respond to, Ziri, you raised the issue of communication and that nobody calls you. You and I spoke regularly by phone, frequently, at least once a week, often more, until the meeting in December when you unilaterally made decisions on behalf of the board before we ever convened, imposed them before taking roll call, and then shouted down, or you muted and refused
Madam
to
Chair,
respond.
Madam Chair, I object. This is one candidate speaking against another candidate. It doesn't seem appropriate.
This is not part of what we're supposed to be having a conversation with you because you're making accusations about me that I don't think are correct, and I don't shout anybody down. And I didn't, for this specific meeting, I didn't even have any say over the Zoom. I was not having the Zoom co-chair or
you
anything.
Threatened me with Zoom with Zoom muting repeatedly.
Oh,
and
no.
if I'm not free to speak and communicate with you in meetings, then I don't see any point in continuing outside of meetings either. So
point
if
of
you
order,
want to hear from
Madam
me,
Chair.
Restore the civility.
Okay, excuse me, there's a point of order, Janine. Say something.
No, just that we have someone speaking out of turn, a candidate that is rebutting what you're saying real time. It doesn't seem appropriate.
Point of order.
Yeah, I didn't recognize Beth either.
Personal privilege.
Started talking. No, I mean, can you please not to have
you called
this?
On me. You mm-hmm. called on me.
No,
I don't know how to time all this.
We're already completed with what you said. And so you actually just attacked me personally for things.
You responded to a point of personal privilege, and I have that same right.
I didn't attack you in any way. I didn't speak in my...
You said I don't communicate. Nobody from the National Board communicates with you, and that's not true.
The conversation here right now, I would like to go back to our agenda. So we have had now all the time for the board questions to the candidates. So now we need the color instructions, which are 5 minutes. Is Terry here? Terry Goodman? Hello? John, do you know where Terry Goodman is?
My mute icon disappears from the screen on this phone.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll say a few things about the elections. The LSB should be meeting in person. I mean, the bylaws presume that LSB meetings will be in person. So because of the pandemic, we have email elections. And hopefully that won't last long because there has to be a delay before you get the results. And so you have to have two meetings in order to ratify the results. So it's elections over email are a pain. What's going to happen this time is a little different than before, but using the same procedures. So probably before midnight tonight, if not, then tomorrow, all of the voters in this director's election will receive instructions and a ballot, this time probably from John Gary instead of from me because my internet is down. The email will go out with all the voters' email addresses exposed so that you can all confirm who are the voters in the election. The roster of current delegates is under dispute because of actions of the PMB, but under the rules of the parliamentary authority, the recording secretary is in charge of the voting rolls. So when the ballots go out, the addressee list will reflect the current voting roll of delegates as maintained by the recording secretary. There will be two elections, one for staff representative director and one for listener sponsor representative director. And all voters vote in both of these elections. Because the staff representative director election is for one seat, it's an IRV election. And in Pacifica IRV elections, it is recommended that you rank only a single person. Although, unless you're ranking first a write-in candidate, you can write in any candidate, but if they have not served a year on the LSB, votes for them do not need to be tallied. In the listener sponsor representative director election, it's a three-seat election. So that will be a single transferable vote. And in an STV election, it's best to rank as many candidates as you can, unless they are someone that you specifically do not want to serve. That way, none of your vote gets exhausted. The way an STV election works is that if your first candidate gets more votes than they need to gain a seat, then the surplus that they've received gets distributed to the second choice candidate or the next choice candidates on all the ballots that got them elected. So if you rank three people in this election, it may be that all three will get a portion of your vote. That's why we allow an X when only a single person is being ranked. We just assume that's a one. But the instructions for compatibility between both of these types of elections is that you place a number in the underscore slot to the left of your candidate's name. The candidates will be listed alphabetically, just so that everybody knows where the name is going to appear if they're looking for somebody. You'll have until midnight Friday, local time, to submit your ballot. And each voter should be receiving from me a receipt within like 6 hours of them submitting their ballot. Our practice is that we accept the last ballot that we receive from each voter before the close of polls. So like if you vote for Harvey Wasserman and send in your ballot and then he withdraws, you can send us a replacement ballot that reflects the change. Although I will point out that if you don't send a replacement ballot and have ranked multiple candidates, your next choice in your numerical ranking automatically gains the vote of whoever has withdrawn after the ballots have gone out. That was complicated enough that I should probably ask if there's any questions.
Thank you, Terry. Are there any questions anybody has?
Very good.
Okay. Well, okay, so we will receive all these ballots. We have, as far as I can tell, next Friday. night. What's the noise, please? Can you? Please
that was Terry's line. I muted him. I muted you, Terry. Oh.
And so you have obviously till Friday next week midnight to vote. And you just explained the intricacies of this voting system. So now comes the public comment, which is 10 minutes.
Siri, excuse me. I just got a call from Harvey Wasserman. May I just make a brief statement?
Yes, is he on the line? Can we hear him?
No, he's not on the line, but he asked me to make a statement on his behalf.
No, remember, this is exactly what we were talking about. Can he please send a quick text either to John or an email to John or me to follow the procedure? That would be great, because this is exactly the same situation we had before. If it's a
well, silenced once again, I understand. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Bella, may I be recognized? I'd like to make an announcement.
Is this in any regards to what we're doing here right now?
Yes. Polina Vasilyev has withdrawn from the election since Oscar Ulloa has decided to run.
Bella, I haven't sent my email yet. Thank you.
Hello. Oh, I you sent it to...
I'm sorry. This is really totally improper. So, Polina, you should just have your time to decide that. Okay, so don't be in any way impacted by whatever you want to decide, if you run or not run. Okay.
Madam Chair, point of information for the teller.
Yes, what's your point of information?
Well, it was my understanding we had Avelia Jones and Ali Lexa elected both to the PNB before. Are they not both staff?
No.
Ali Lexa is staff.
No, they're not. Avelia is a listener delegate.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So getting back to the public comment now for 10 minutes. So we have a few hands up. There's Raymond Goldstone, then John Markowitz. And the others are LSD members. Wait, first, John wants to say something. John Gary, go ahead.
Madam Chair, with all due respect, I'd like to hear Mr. Wasserman's communication.
Yes, but it won't be, this is what we discussed before. He has to email or text us before the end of the meeting. That should be possible if he's able to communicate with Myla. So we can hear his communication, but it should not mean that he has accepted the nomination until he has sent something in writing to you or me. Is Myla still there? Do you want to read it?
Ziri, I had a conversation with him. He asked me to relay his statement.
Yeah, you can. I wanted to say it's no different to the statement you said before that you...
It is different. It is different. That's why I interrupted.
Proxy, but go ahead. Read the statement.
Thank you, Siri. What Harvey said to me is that he provisionally accepts the nomination if the electorate includes Barbara Marbach, Sandy Child, Ali Lexa, Adam Wollman, Nancy Perlman, and Robert Payne. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we go back to the general public. So there's first Raymond, please go ahead. Raymond Goldstone, are you there? Raymond, can you unmute? There you are.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Thank you.
Thank you. First, a quick question. Does the bylaw relating to the election require that someone serve as a delegate for a year before they can become a candidate for director?
Yes, I don't know if anybody else wants to answer this, but yes, the answer is yes. You have to first serve a year on the LSB. It doesn't have to be the previous year. If you served before, like in the case of Janine Roan, she served earlier on. And so even though it was not this last year, and so she's also eligible if this is what you're referring to.
Yes, that then means that Mr. Argueta is indeed qualified.
Yes, because he also has been on the PNB and everything. Yes, exactly. Thank you. John,
pardon me.
Yeah.
know how fair you are, but I hadn't finished, and I don't think I've used 90 seconds.
I'm sorry. I thought you were completed. Thank you. Go ahead.
No. I very much object to your silencing the public member who is also corporate counsel for Pacifica, who wanted to make a short statement. That just, you've done that now twice, and I think your statements about wanting public input are not being followed. And I also believe that's true with a Mr. Tatum. To the best of my knowledge, he is not a member of the LSV. He has never garnered a vote for anything. And I can find no record of his being appointed as parliamentarian for the LSV in KPFK. And I think that those two exceptions are telling with regard to your concerns about democracy. Thank you, and I hope Mr. Schwartz is still on the line.
Thank you, Raymond. I would like to respond to at least two of your allegations. One was that I have kept Arthur Schwartz out twice. I only kept him out today. The last time he came on, he actually spoke, and he spoke for quite a long, substantial time, and also was pretty disrespectful. And I am very much about keeping this meeting manageable. So I don't have the controls of the Zoom, you know, so there is people running the Zoom. And so I don't think that's appropriate to accuse me of that. Thank you. So Jonathan Markowitz, then comes Michael Novick.
How long do people have?
90 seconds, please. Eleanor, thank you. So Jonathan Markowitz, then Michael Novick as a member of the public, and then Alvaro, and then Eleanor, do you also want to speak?
Yes.
And then also John Tatum, since he was also accused here, so I would like to give him also the chance to speak. So Jonathan, go ahead. Jonathan Markowitz, you have to unmute. Hello? Okay, so maybe you have Michael Novick first. Michael, you ready?
Yes, I'm sorry. Listen, I unmuted and then somebody muted me again. Okay. I am relieved to hear Eric's mention of the bylaws referendum. He was referring to the previous bylaws referendum by New Day. And it is a very important question. However, underlying what Eric is talking about is what is pretty much not being talked about by anybody in this entire meeting, which is really the interpretation, actually an incorrect interpretation, which is being railroaded by the PNB as well as Pacifica's counsel. And Pacifica's counsel has been acting in complete disregard of our democratic process by crashing this meeting and the previous LSB meeting December 18th. That's not his role. His interpretation is false, is incorrect of the bylaws. That's what's at stake here. Eric is taking a gamble that those who are not in favor of the New Day bylaws amendment will not be able to get it passed in this upcoming election in a few months. That remains to be seen. But this is why this incorrect interpretation of the bylaws is being railroaded. And we are the ones, that is the KPFK LSB on behalf of the entire network, all of the listener members who have no knowledge of this even going on right now, the very future of Pacifica is at stake. That is what's going on here. Although this parliamentary process is not addressing the actual motives at play here for people like Harvey, Myla, Arthur Schwartz, who has his own personal interests, that I believe are driving.
Jonathan, can you wrap it up, please?
Okay. Am I already out of time? I'm sorry.
Yes, you are.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Michael, go ahead. Michael Novick.
Yeah, I had a multi-part question. I'd like to ask all the candidates what they think the proper relationship is between the national and local board members and national and local management. I'd also like to ask what you think the role of the national and local board members are in relation to fundraising for the stations and the foundation. And I'd like to ask if you would, as a member of the national board, mandate a process of strategic planning at all five stations, incorporating both the paid and unpaid staff and governance, along with input from listeners, in charting a course forward, in particular around both maintaining the mission compliance of our programming and in terms of developing 21st century media tools, use of social media for promotion and for content development. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. I just really briefly, because are there any candidates who would like to say something? I see also John Gary has his hand up. John, what do you need?
Madam Chair, we have not, the agenda does not include a candidate response to public comment. If the board wants to add that, they can, but that's not part that's not part of the agenda at this point.
It's a complicated question. We can speak a whole hour about it. And it's a little difficult. So, Michael, maybe we can address this. I wonder if we can address this at some other point. Janine, you're not a member of the public. Alvaro, you're next. Alvaro?
Thank you. Thank you. I, Alvaro Montealegre, stand in support of Ziri Rizzo, Ms. Bella DeSoto, Adriana Casanavi, and the KPSK LSB, as you comply with and abide by the Pacifica bylaws in enforcing the 6-year term limit on the members of the board. And I call on the Pacifica National Board to come back to legality and implement the 6-year provision of the Pacifica bylaws also. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Alvaro. So the next member of the public is Eleanor, then John Tatum, and then Jim Dingman. So Eleanor, go ahead, please. Eleanor, you have to unmute, please. Eleanor, can you hear us?
Yes, I thought I unmuted myself and then I was asked to unmute a second time.
Go ahead.
I bring the WBAI Community Advisory Board's best wishes for a successful meeting. And that obviously applies to this meeting and to the other half, because we weren't thinking of it as two separate things. And for myself, I applaud KPFK's courageous stance in standing up for the bylaws and standing up to the Pacifica National Board, trying to force you to disobey the bylaws. So, bravo, brava.
Okay. Thank you, Eleanor. Are you completed or is there anything else you need to say? Your time still.
That's all I have to say right now.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next is John Tatum, then Jim Dingman, and then Kim Kaufman. So, John, go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to respond to the statements that were made earlier about me, John Tatum, the parliamentarian. The first one was that you, as chair, cannot be blamed for keeping Arthur Schwartz out of the meeting. When a motion, and everybody should know this, when a motion comes up to keep the public from speaking at a meeting until a certain time and the motion is made and it passes, then that is a motion of the board. You do not blame the chair. Everybody should know that. So when they voted to keep Arthur Schwartz from speaking at a certain time, and only the secretary and the timekeeper, that was the vote of the board. And you can look at the California Corporation Code. It will state that when a motion is made and you get a majority vote, it's not a vote just of those people who said yes. That represents the entire board. Now, point two, the chair has the right to appoint a parliamentarian that she trusts to assist her with the meeting. And regardless of the fact that I'm being paid to be here, she could even appoint one of the board members to serve as parliamentarian. So That's a non-issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. So next is Jim Dingman and then Kim Kaufman, please. Jim, go ahead.
Thank you, Zuri. My opinions on this have been stated many times. I mean, we debated these issues at the PNB level at great length. And if somebody had $120,000, $150,000, $80,000, whatever it takes to do the election, it should have been done a long time ago. And this year it will be done. The main problem that is ignored all the time is that the fact is our content has over 20 years increasingly not been listened to by masses of people in each metro area we're in. We wouldn't be having these fights. We wouldn't be sitting here debating whether to sell another asset or not if 500,000 people were listening to the station each week in New York, Houston, and Los Angeles. We wouldn't be having these debates. That is the main problem to solve, not all this. And the longer we just postpone this debate, and because some group of people want to dominate the board for their own purposes, which is obviously what's just happened in the past couple of weeks, bravo for a great pooch. I love it. But ignoring this is the main problem of the money and where the money comes from. That is the issue. The content is the issue. And all the rest of this is a bunch of crap to waste our time. None of these people you've decided to run are going to be recognized by the board. And let's just get beyond this and figure out how to solve the problems financially, then give platitude statements about how to do it, which is what I hear from some people. And the bottom up issue
is
ridiculous. So I'm going to finish my comment. You let other people go on for about 8 to 10 to 20 seconds. The bottom line issue here, or the bottom up issue, is that bottom up people here decided to interpret the issue of elections in their own way to serve their own purposes. That's obvious. Please just don't insult people's intelligence.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Kim, go ahead.
Well, it's obvious that a majority of these LSB members have not read the bylaws and do not understand them. And that includes, I saw John Tatum's so-called opinion, which he clearly has not read the bylaws and does not understand them. And I've seen the comments to his opinion. And I hope you all read them before you take a vote on that, because he has no idea what he's talking about. And the idea of not allowing, even making a ruling that the general counsel should not speak here, is rude and disrespectful. You know, the right of free speech and open dialogue only seems to apply when people don't disagree with you, Siri. And I want to hear from these people running for PNB, why they voted for Mikkel and Lydia's $1 million deficit budget less than a year ago. Paulina, Oscar, Bella DeSoto, and Marisol, and Michael Novick, your interim GM, and why they did that. Paulina would like to pretend that it was Netta's budget. It was not. So that's a question that people should think about. I understand they don't have time to respond, but everybody should know that when they vote. And now you're complaining that the building is going to be sold. Well, when people make bad financial decisions year after year after year after year, that's what happens. And that's where you're at now. you know,
your time is
earlier,
up.
Yeah. Earlier, Ziri complained that the PNB doesn't communicate with her, and exactly, she won't let Arthur Schwartz, the Pacifica's general counsel, speak to this meeting. So it's a lot of hypocrisy and double talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Arthur Schwartz is actually not on the PNB. This is exactly part of the problem.
He is a general counsel, Ziri, and you do not have the right to respond to what everybody speaks. He is a general counsel for Pacifica. Okay, he speaks for the Pacifica National Board. Period. End of story.
Thank you, Kim. Nancy, go ahead, please.
Yes, I'd like to say thank you to KPFK, the staff, the general manager, Ziri, on the Rebel Alliance, doing the LSB report to the people, the reports, the GM reports to the people. I wish our station would do that. And I would like to say it's wonderful, you know, Ziri using her cell phone when the phones, KPFK phones were not working, to get people's voice. I mean, that's so wonderful. And I'd like to say the 6-year termed out, you know, bylaw that was just ignored and trampled and violated by the PNB on October 20th, if you want to listen to that. I was so disappointed that people were saying, like Mr. Sagerton said, well, has anybody heard from New Day yet? And then Susan Young from KPH says, yes, I called her. And what is her name? Jan Goodman said she would be again. A 6-year termed out being replaced. That would be a point of court. You know, this is not the exact words, but if you listen to it, then Beth Van Gutten votes against her own motion to postpone the vote on this, and they voted, and she voted for, you know, 6-year termed out. They stay. They're not replaced. There's no new blood coming into the LSBs. And so I'm really happy that KPFK LSB exists in this wonderful example of standing up to tyranny. That's what it is. And what do you call it? Just like when people vote themselves, it's going to be the same people. So KPFK is making a good example. What else do I want to say? That's all. Thank you very much, KPFK LSB.
Thank you, Nancy. Sheila, you're up next. Sheila, can
okay.
You...
thank you. Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to praise the new management at KPFK. I think it's very exciting that there's new programming that's community-based, that's going on the air, and people are going to respond to that. KPFK was the first station to pick up the Gray Zone, which is offering to listeners on the West Coast an alternative view about the war in Ukraine instead of simply parroting the line of the Democratic Party. Now, regarding Mr. Dingman's comments, Mr. Dingman sort of specializes in blaming programmers and shifting the burden onto the backs of programmers instead of accepting some responsibility for providing some real leadership. Now, his blame game is a perpetuation of institutional racism, and I'll tell you why. It's because it puts the primary emphasis is money, 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 money. Cut the shows or force them onto a digital wasteland where their listeners do not hear them. For example, at KPFT, there was a program for people in prison, banished, not enough money coming in, to HD. Well, guess what? People in prison can't get HD. So they are excluded once again. That's an example of institutional racism. Spanish language programmers don't bring in money. Ban them, give them HD, okay? Even though it's the poor people in the United States, immigrants who don't have high-speed internet access, ban them from analog radio. That's institutional racism. Now,
You're more than half a minute over.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Sheila. So are there any other listeners right now, general public, who would like to comment or have any say? Are we, John, are we in the 10 minutes already for the public comments? Or is it...
I think, I don't know if I recorded the exact time it started accurately.
Okay. So, Eleanor, do you have an idea of how much time we spent with the public comment now?
Sorry, I do not.
Okay.
I wrote down 104, but I don't know if that's accurate. It's probably not.
I think we're actually over the 10 minutes, probably. So then we did that, and now comes the delegates assembly is adjourning. So that means we have a 5 minutes recess.
Ziri, this is Paulina. Let's do protocol. I move to adjourn.
Yes, thank you very much.
Madam Chair, can I read the can't we need a couple of updates on the can, on the ballot before we adjourn.
Okay, give us the updates. What's that?
I received an email from Harvey Wasserman. He said he would accept a nomination under conditions that are not extant. So he's not going to be on the ballot. And I received an email from, let me make sure I get this correct. Polina Vasilyev declined her nomination. So,
John, I'm so shocked because I spoke to Harvey after he sent the email to you, and he explicitly said he would decline if those individuals were not included in the electorate.
And they're not included, so he declines.
Well, why don't you, instead of paraphrasing what he said, actually tell people what he said?
It was already read, right? It's the same statement, or is it different?
I didn't read the wording of his statement. If that's what
I think it's improper to paraphrase what his statement.
Okay, is it a long statement, or is it?
No, it's
go ahead.
Four sentences.
John, go ahead, read it.
This is a email from Harvey Wasserman. This is a gathering that has no legal standing. I will not attend out of compliance with the ruling of the PNB. I will participate in no alleged election in which Barbara Marbach, Ali Lexa, Sandy Childs, Bob Payne, Nancy Perlman, and Adam Marbach are disenfranchised. They're not members of the board. So he's declining. That is, he declined.
Well, I disagree with your interpretation of this word.
Myla, how can this be interpreted?
Okay, the conditions under which you will participate do not exist. Therefore,
we shall see. They may come to exist.
Well, the ballot is being prepared now, and nominations are closed. So that question will.
But the electorate, as Terry said, the electorate has yet to be determined.
No, it isn't. I establish it because I maintain the roster. The membership is established. I have it, and we will proceed with the election.
Okay. So what I would suggest is, like, for right now, since this is what he said, don't have him on the nominations list. He can still always be written in as a write-in candidate. So that's still possible for him, right? And so...
can I read the nominees one last time so there's no ambiguity?
Yes, of course.
The staff election, the nominees are Rodrigo Argueta, Myla Reason, and Oscar Ulloa. For the listener election, the nominees are Cristina Avalos, Bella DeSoto, Marisol Cruz, Avelia Jones, Ziri Rideau, Janine Roan, Oscar Ulloa, Elizabeth Von Gunten. And write-ins are available in both elections. And
Madam Chair, Oscar Ulloa is staff.
I know. Oscar Ulloa is staff. So he's
okay. Ulloa.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I read his name twice. I apologize. Okay, so Oscar Ulloa is represented in this staff election.
Good. Thank you. Okay, great. So now let's adjourn the delegate assembly, please, and we take 5 minutes recess.
Mr. Tatum has his hand up. Ginny,
exactly.
Leary.
Is there something urgent, Mr. Tatum, you have to address right now?
No, I just want to say I agree with John Gary's interpretation of what the statement was that Wasserman made. And since the tellers and cannot, abide by his if-when clause, then that represents a decline.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Avelia, do you have anything urgent to say before we recess right now for the 5 minutes? Your hand is still up.
I was going to, no, I don't.
Okay, Avelia. So we are having a recess of 5 minutes, and then we come back for the local station board meeting. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Siri. Thank you, everybody.